Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
For you, Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey, reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Please join the Peace Coalition of Monterey County on the 6th anniversary of the Iraq War and send a message to bring the troops home. That's Thursday, March 19th at 5 p.m. in Monterey at Windows on the Bay, Del Monte, and...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Will the executives keep the bonuses? That's been at the center of congressional hearings all day into the AIG bailout. Correspondent Bob Fuss has the latest from Capitol Hill.
The man brought in to run AIG for the government told Congress he understands public anger over bonuses, and he's asked executives to return at least half of them. But Edward Liddy says he's worried all the furor will mean the government will get money back, but AIG will lose people it needs to try to prevent a collapse that could worsen the financial meltdown.
I think what people will do is stay for a short period of time, but they will return that money along with their resignation.
Those bonuses will be returned one way or another because Congress is moving quickly to put a special tax on them. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A judge in New York has ordered Bank of America to disclose what it paid Merrill Lynch employees before the bank bought the brokerage firm. New York's attorney general wants to know if shareholders were kept in the dark as Merrill Lynch lost billions. The Fed left interest rates unchanged today, but is trying another tactic to pull the economy out of recession. Here's correspondent Barry Bagnato.
The Fed's taking significant specific steps to try to jumpstart the economy. To spur consumer lending and spending, it will buy $300 billion in long-term Treasury securities. And it's purchasing an additional $750 billion worth of troubled mortgage-backed securities to ease the burden on lenders, hopefully freeing up money for home buyers. It says the economy continues to contract.
The longtime accountant of Bernard Madoff has been charged with fraud in connection with a scheme that built Madoff's clients out of billions. David Freeling is accused of deceiving those clients into thinking their investments were growing. CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
They're charging him with knowingly filing documents that he knew or should have known were fraudulent, of being in on the conspiracy, if you will, that was the Ponzi scheme. Now, he may not have directed it. But the essence of the charge is going to be that when you're an accountant at that level, you have to know this sort of stuff is going on. And if you pretend that you don't, you're essentially committing fraud.
Madoff has pleaded guilty in the scheme. The Army's pulling back on its controversial stop-loss program that has allowed it to force soldiers back into service beyond their enlistments. There was a winner in Alaska's famous dog sled race, and Carrie Anderson reports he's no stranger to hardship.
38-year-old Lance Mackey has won his third straight Iditarod. But 8 years ago, he was in a fight for his life against throat cancer.
I still felt I had a lot of life left and a lot of things I wanted to do and accomplish. And, you know, some of the goals that I had set for myself, you know, now I've achieved. So I won't be disappointed if this all ends tomorrow. But I hope it don't.
Fighting cancer, Mackey says, gave him an increase in determination. Carrie Anderson for CBS News. Anchorage.
On Wall Street today, the Dow finished up 90 points. This is CBS News.
Cell phones tend to do one thing during a collision. Hide. Underneath your seat, next to a corn chip, in that itty-bitty space by your armrest. With OnStar Automatic Crash Response, sensors are built in and can automatically send crash details and your exact GPS location to an advisor who can help responders be more prepared. No cell phone can do that, especially one that's fled the scene. OnStar is standard for the first year on 14 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
Control. You expect it from your brakes. At Midas, you're in control of your brakes maintenance, too, with up to $50 off brake pads or shoes installed. Right now, we'll take a thorough look at your entire brake system. And only if you need them, install new brake pads or shoes. That's up to $50 off brake pads or shoes. Midas, we're on this road together.
$25 per axle, most vehicles ends April 4th at participating Midas.
The Obama administration may be changing its policy on marijuana, limiting arrest to sellers who violate state and federal laws. The Bush administration had targeted medical marijuana sellers. Even though it is allowed in California, it is still a federal offense. There is a growing category of HIV infected in this country.
The CDC confirms that one in every three women infected with HIV is 40 or older. Jennifer Braunschweiger with More Magazine says they've talked with women over 40 with HIV, and she says older women simply are not getting the message about safe sex.
Midlife women tend to not use condoms because they don't think they can get pregnant. They assume that their partner is monogamous.
And middle-aged women often confuse symptoms of HIV with menopause or just getting older. She says it's a good idea to ask for an HIV test as part of your regular annual exam. Sabrina Gibbons for CBS News, Atlanta.
Georgia may become the first state in the nation to require that food producers notify state inspectors if their internal tests show products may be tainted. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Almost doesn't count. Maybe in horseshoes, but who plays horseshoes? And being almost sure how to get somewhere doesn't count either. We almost made it. No. That's why there's OnStar turn-by-turn navigation. Just press one button.
OnStar, do you need directions?
Precise directions are sent to your car while you're driving. You get where you want to go, not almost where you want to go. OnStar is standard for the first year on 14 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for coverage map details and system limitations. Turn-by-turn not available in certain areas.
You know, brand new cars come with big new payments. And right now, with the economy having a bad hair day, you want to keep the car you got running stronger for longer. Advance Auto Parts. They make it easy to keep your ride running right with offers like 5 quarts of Pennzoil or Quaker State conventional motor oil and a Purolator Premium Plus oil filter for $14.99. Get the oil and filter, and they'll sweeten the deal with $2 off any air or cabin air filter. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts will help you keep the wheels turning.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Our program today is dedicated to my dad. Today would have been his 86th birthday.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça, ela menina que vem.
And this was one of his favorite songs.
Um doce balanço, caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais que um poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar.
Well, my dad's been gone a long time, but he left me quite a legacy. He introduced me to being opinionated, to the thing called politics. He required me to join the debating team in high school. I've never regretted that. And he taught me about business. And how sometimes you've got to close a business. We're dealing with that this week here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Our final broadcast of this program will be on Friday. Heard ricocheting around our affiliate stations on the weekend. And then we're going to come back at you probably in June with a Peter B. Collins online program in the form of a podcast. We're also exploring doing a live streaming radio show on the web. And I want to thank all the people who've gotten in touch, sent me their email addresses, and pledged to subscribe to our upcoming podcast. That gives me a lot of confidence to be able to pull that off.
When she walks, she's like a samba.
And on today's program, in a moment, Carl Frisch will join us from Media Matters. Later this hour, our former producer, Matt Renner, who is now an editor for truthout.org in Washington and their White House correspondent. Also this hour, Harvey Wasserman, the no-nukes activist from Columbus, Ohio, who also works on election protection in his spare time. Next hour, Eve Pell, the author of a new memoir called We Used to Own the Bronx, memoirs of a former debutante. She knew George Jackson. She covered the Salinas trial of the Soledad brothers. Lots more, too. She's got stories to tell. Ray McGovern will be with us later, too. He, of course, worked at the CIA and has been a sharp critic under the Bush administration and has some criticisms of the Obama administration as well. And in our third hour today, we're expecting Tim Carpenter from Progressive Democrats of America and Congressman Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, the former presidential candidate and a stalwart when it comes to trying to fight for accountability and exposure of wrongdoing during the Bush era. That's all ahead. Your calls and comments are welcome. You know how to do it. You pick up the phone and call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And for those who don't have access to the internets, here's my mailing address. It's P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. Again, Box 100, Mill Valley, and the zip code is 94942. Love to hear from you now or whenever you're ready. And I want you to stay in touch with our program. Carl Frisch works at MediaMatters.org, and he's a recovering Republican. How you doing, Carl?
I'm doing all right. Still in recovery.
Well, I understand it. It'll take a while, but you're on the right path. And, Carl, before we get to the distract-o-matic story of the week, I like to occasionally turn things in to Media Matters for you guys to chew on. And
yes.
There's a glaring omission in the media right now, and it's pointed up by commentary resulting from Dick Cheney's interview with John King over at CNN.
Yeah, it was some interview, wasn't it?
Where King acted like Tim Russert.
Yeah.
Rest his soul.
Except
I've got really.
It wasn't a game of fast pitch. It was a game of T-ball.
Yeah, yeah. So he pretended to ask tough questions about, aren't you to blame for the state of our economy? And Cheney flicked that off like a terrorist being waterboarded. And nobody has asked him about the Cheney assassin squad that was revealed by Seymour Hersh in a kind of offhand response to a question to an audience in Minnesota in the last week or so. And I think this is a very critical issue, and I'm not dinging Arianna Huffington, but she wrote a nice piece at Huffington Post criticizing John King and saying that John Stewart, fresh off of his mano-a-mano with Jim Cramer, should have been the man to ask Dick Cheney some questions. And, gosh, the way everybody else has failed, maybe she's right. But somebody should point out that this is an incredible allegation coming from an extremely reliable source. And I, for one, am not willing to wait for Cy Hirsch's book to be published to find out more about it.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think, unfortunately, that's what the media is going to let us do, is wait. And then when the book comes out and they don't have Cy Hirsch on television to talk about it, they'll make us wait some more. You know, this is the same media that let them take us to Iraq. And not only did they not ask the tough questions, but they cheerleaded all the way. So for them to report on this is to, you know, to show some of their own culpability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I really believe that this is, you know, one of the most critical potential criminal behaviors attributed to the Bush administration. And that if there was, in fact, an assassination squad linked to the CIA and operating not only around the world where we often set a lower standard, but even right here in the United States, I mean, that's deeply chilling. And it really should be the most important investigative journalism topic of the moment.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this one still surprised me. You know, after all those years, I was still surprised to hear about this. After torture and warrantless wiretaps and everything else, this still surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
And that speaks just to how big of an issue this really is.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you have an omission section there at Media Matters, but run it up the flagpole for me, will you, Carl?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is one I think we need to keep in people's minds so that maybe even a reporter who gets the next interview with Dick Cheney will bring it up.
I certainly hope so, and I hope we'll stop. You know, we've posted a few items at MediaMatters.org about King's interview where he would toss up these softball questions like, is Obama making the country less safe?
Yeah.
You know, why not just tell him, hey, I agree with what you'd answer to this question. Obama's making the country less safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, John King's a mixed bag. I generally respect him as a reporter.
As do I.
He has a good presence, and he knows how to use that computerized mapping screen with all the vote tallies.
I have my own version.
You do?
But it's only 3 inches. It's called an iPhone. And I don't have CNN's budget.
Yeah. But you've gotten the scissors maneuver down really well, spreading your fingers to make it bigger?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And, you know, that's why he gets paid the big bucks, because he can do it with a 60-inch television screen.
So, Carl Frisch, the media is just in apoplexy, and politicians are feeding it right now. It's a frenzy over the bonuses paid to many present and a lot of former AIG executives, those who were in charge of the very unit that brought the company to its knees and required almost $200 billion worth of bailouts.
And here's how they won't be reporting it tonight, even though they should.
All right.
In the news today, it was discovered in the early morning hours of several months ago that the very employees will be getting millions of dollars in bailout money. You know, this is something that you won't hear that this is not new news, that this has been around since, you know, the late fall, that this is a deal that was brokered by the Bush administration, which has been left out of so many reports it's hard to count, that the very Republicans who are out there right now talking about the need to get this money back, voted against the plans that would have made practices like this illegal in the future. It's awfully funny. I'm waiting for one political reporter to write the story that says that every Republican in the Senate who signed a no taxes pledge now supports raising taxes on a very small group of people.
Well, how about Chuck Harikari Grassley, the senator from Iowa, who really went ballistic and suggested that these executives have two choices. They should either resign or commit suicide. Now, that does
happen.
And
then he did, in fairness to him, come back and say that he didn't want them to die. He just wanted, suicide. I don't want them to die, though.
Oh.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's what I find fascinating, and, I look at both the media layer and the political layer, Carl, and what I see is this media frenzy gives Republicans cover to dance around a little bit here and feed the populists, be anti-AIG, anti-bailout, as a way of obscuring their role in this huge economic meltdown, just like Dick Cheney did to John King.
Well, it's a two-pronged attack, and I think people need to know this. There is a multi-layered campaign with the two major thrusts being, one, to try and make Democrats responsible for these bonuses, when in fact it was Republican policies that put them in place. And these very Republicans, many of them did articulate their opposition to putting salary caps or bonus caps in legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And B, an attack on the very poor and needy. So they're attacking at the top to make Democrats responsible. And at the same time, they're trying to make it sound like Democrats only care about helping lazy people who don't do anything to find work.
Yeah.
It's a political tactic, and it's rooted in Rush Limbaugh's desire to see the president fail.
Well, and I love the class war that they're starting from the top.
Ayn Rand would be very happy.
Yeah, and this is really not about the money. It's about honoring contracts. And if we don't honor those contracts, so then nobody else will work for AIG ever again.
And we must honor those contracts, so we're told. It's not like this isn't a mess, but let's not confuse the politics. This is what Republicans are doing, and it's opened up a divide within the movement. There's a great piece by Greg Sargent on the Washington Post website right now that talks about the divide brewing between conservatives and the media, people like Rush Limbaugh, who are saying that Barney Frank is trying to become McCarthy by trying to find out who these bonuses went to, and that there's a lynch mob out to get these IEG executives, and Republicans on the Hill who are hell bent on capitalizing on this politically, even though they set up the mess in the first place.
Yeah, it is very interesting, and a lot of jujitsu going on right now. We'll take a break and return. Carl Frisch is with us from Media Matters. You got a question or comment or a media critique, bring it on now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
You are invited to an important free community event in Monterey on Wednesday evening, March 25th. Our world faces many grave challenges: the current economic crisis, climate change, global poverty, and stockpiles of nuclear weapons. The United Nations Association presents New Prospects for Nuclear Disarmament, featuring two world-class speakers. Dr. William Potter directs the Monterey Institute of International Studies Center for Non-Proliferation. Dr. Patricia Lewis is the center's new deputy director, a policy expert, and a nuclear physicist. For 10 years, she ran the UN's Institute for Disarmament Research. They will discuss the current state of global disarmament efforts and new prospects under the Obama administration. This event is Wednesday, March 25th at 7 p.m. in the Irvine Auditorium of the Monterey Institute, Pierce at Jefferson Streets in Monterey. Admission is free, no reservations, but come early for a seat. This is a United Nations Association event hosted by the Center for Non-Proliferation Studies. For more, go to unamontereybay.org.
In 1937, two men bought a grocery store for $1. They signed the bill of sale on butcher paper and shook hands over a pickle barrel. In the post-depression era, these men had a dream, and with a lot of hard work, some luck, and the support of the Santa Cruz community, Shoppers Corner Market became synonymous with high-quality products and service.
The produce is great, the meat's really good, this is the place to come.
Shoppers Corner offers fresh fish daily from Stagneros, no farmed fish from out of town. The butchery carries only the best USDA-grade meats.
They have an old-style butcher counter with fabulous meats, the best qualities.
They also have 150 different cheeses, fresh local produce, the lowest prices, and wonderful brand-name wines on sale. Remember, when you shop at Shopper's Corner on the corner of Rancho 40 and Soquel in Santa Cruz, you're not only getting the best price for the highest quality, you're also supporting the local economy and a local business that has served the community for decades.
People who work here all live here. And they get lots of local produce, and they, you know, it's about as local as you can get, really.
Shopper's Corner, where the locals shop.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani.
Join us Saturday
from 7 to 9 p.m.
for Good Vibrations Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships,
communication,
health,
and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations.
Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Thursday, March 19th, keep it locked on this station. The 44th President of the United States, Barack Obama, will be on The Ed Schultz Show. The leader of the free world will join the leading voice in progressive talk for a one-on-one interview. Thursday, March 19th will be an historic day for progressive talk. Don't miss it. President Barack Obama on The Ed Schultz Show. Thursday, right here on this progressive talk station.
The change is in the wind here at the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be vacating this space at the end of the week. Find out the details at peterbcollins.com.
I don't know what I was waiting for, and my time was running wild in dead streets. And every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. Well, I've never caught a glimpse how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Change it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it.
So the
big distraction in the media now is that 418 employees of AIG, those most responsible for melting down the company, have shared $165 million in so-called retention bonuses. Only 52 of them have already left the company. Now, I'm leaving the radio here. Is there any way I can get a retention bonus? Carl Frisch from Media Matters, got any ideas?
Oh, sorry, I was just buying an F-22 online with my bailout money. I wasn't paying attention to what you said. I think I'll get it in blue.
Now, over at emperorsclub.com, Elliot Spitzer has posted, actually it's at slate.com, has posted an item that I think is really important for people to know about. And that is, the real critical issue here is not really these bonuses. And I don't object to efforts to recover the money or to shame executives. And if this puts a break on the rampant executive compensation, I'm all for it. But it's the billions and billions of dollars that AIG took from the government and then shoveled out the door to foreign banks, to American banks, to investment funds like the Public Employees Retirement Fund, PERS, here in California.
Right.
And all of this was done out of our view. There was no public disclosure, no scrutiny of this. And essentially, they didn't want us to find out what institutions the money was going to. And they thought that if they just crossed their fingers and pumped this money in, that everything would get better and we'd never have to know about it.
Right, and you know, the fact of the matter is that AIG very well could have let these, they also gave funds to some banks whose assets had not turned toxic yet, which is an interesting point to make. But had they let these banks, at least the American banks, become toxic on their own, those banks would have been eligible for TARP money. So, you know, it's not something they had to do, like they're claiming now.
Mm-hmm. And so, Carl, as you see this from the perspective of the media storm, where do viewers, readers, listeners go to avoid this sideshow?
Right now it ranks right up there with a blonde lady being kidnapped,
mm-hmm.
In terms of how much time the media is spending on it.
Is that telling us that Greta Van Susteren is on her way to Aruba right now?
No, but I think Nancy Grace is going to do a story about these different people. I mean, at the end of the day, they're covering the issue, but like so many things, they're not covering the issue.
Yeah.
You're not hearing about the Bush administration's role. You're hearing countless conservatives on television trying to lay this on Obama's doorstep, even though they played a big part in making this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you're having a lot of Republicans coming out and saying that they should be taxed so that they lose all their bonuses, which, you know, some Democrats support as well.
But we
without
had
anybody
the...
asking the question, how does this, you know, reconcile your anti-tax increase of any kind whatsoever pledges?
And we also had a clause inserted by Ron Wyden and Russ Feingold in the Senate that would have limited the use of bailout money for bonuses.
Republicans voted against.
It disappeared in the conference committee.
Right.
And we have to assume that the so-called moderates, the two senators from Maine and Arlen Specter, were the ones who engineered that, but we don't really know whose fingerprints are on it.
Right, although, you know, I'm sure we'll find out soon enough. At the end of the day, Media Matters is launching a new website sometime this week, maybe next week, called Financial Media Matters.
Oh, good.
That looks at, you know, networks like CNBC and Fox Business Network, Bloomberg News, Wall Street Journal, other financial reporting. Because these issues are complex, and sometimes it's a little bit, you know, troubling to dig through them.
But how are we going to get people back in the casino if we're telling the truth about Wall Street? Huh?
Maybe we can get Tony Bennett.
I was thinking more of Tony Orlando.
The Jonas Brothers open for Tony Orlando.
Well, Carl, thank you very much. And would you please pass my gratitude to David Brock, to Paul Waldman, to Jameson Foser, and all the team there at Media Matters who have been contributors to this program over the last few years. It's been almost a weekly event. You do a lot of great work there, and I've been very pleased to make our listeners aware of Media Matters and the great work you're doing.
And let me just say that from everybody here at Media Matters, we're going to miss you, and we need you to hurry back to whatever platform you land on next so that we can continue to do this important work.
Well, hopefully it won't be an offshore drilling platform, but we're expecting it to be the Internet. And look for us about June, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks, Peter.
Okay, Carl Frisch from Media Matters, on the web at mediamatters.org. Where's my bailout? My retention bonus? We'll continue in a moment. My former producer, Matt Renner, will join us here on the other side. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by GM, makers of the 2011 Chevy Volt, the extended-range electric vehicle that will revolutionize the way people drive. Go to gm.com/solutions. And by the American Society of Retina Specialists with Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. In response to new laws and interpretations thereof, at least two libraries in this country have pulled every children's book printed before 1986 off the library shelves. You see, it seems lead poisoning used to be present in printer's ink until that year. The Consumer Product Safety Commission never issued any directives to get rid of the books, nor has it exempted books. But it does recommend testing each one. You can never be too careful, you know. Oh, yes, you can, says the American Library Association.
Books are not dangerous. Children have no worry being exposed to books. There's no lead in them. Everybody says they're not dangerous. Requiring us to spend $300 per book to test them is just ridiculous.
More after this. The most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, AMD. It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. If you're not seeing clearly, see an eye doctor. Get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
A wine is only as good as the vineyards it comes from. Now for Cabot, America's favorite Pinot Grigio, that means grapes grown in the foothills of Italy's Dolomite Alps. And while many great wines come from California, when it comes to Pinot Grigio, the best comes from Italy. There you'll find the perfect growing conditions for creating the award-winning Cabot Collection, where Cabot Pinot Grigio gets its crisp, light taste and full fruit flavors. So when you're looking for truly exceptional wine, choose the Cabot Collection.
The number one Italian wine in America, Cabot. Elevating life. Bombay International, Boca Raton, Florida.
Emily Sheketoff, who heads the Washington office of the American Library Association, thinks the CPSC should exempt books and be done with it.
In all the years that the Consumer Product Safety Commission has been in existence, all the years that they have looked at books, looked at any products, they have never found an ordinary book to have any danger.
There were a lot of wonderful children's books printed before 1986. Wonderfulness of content is not what the commission cares about.
Nobody has ever said, oh, this book is dangerous or that book is dangerous. No one has ever come forward with that. And we believe that asking us to spend $300 per book to test books is just irresponsible on the commission's part.
Isn't it great we have all these government agencies and commissions? What would we ever do without them?
We are asking the commission to exempt ordinary books and let us get on with our important work of trying to encourage children to learn to read.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Time to paint your house and protect your investment. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Holy cow, the Democratic president is in California. He's behind the orange curtain holding a town hall meeting with an unscreened audience. He's going to be on the Ed Schultz Show and the Jay Leno Show on Thursday. President of Madagascar. Ray Davies and the Kinks, song about a missing DJ called Around the Dial. Dave Berman reminded me about this one. I've been around the dial so many times, but you're not there. Somebody tells you that you've been taken off the air. Well, you're my favorite DJ, since I can't remember when. You always play the best record, you never follow any trend. FMA, where are you? You gotta be out there somewhere on the dial. Ray and Dave Davies, the Kinks there. That's called Around the Dial. And if this is the first you've heard, I'm sorry to break the news to you, but the Peter B. Collins Show's in its final days. We'll be conducting our final broadcast this Friday, and we're moving to the internets. That's right. We'll have a podcast available for you. And I thank all the people who have promised to subscribe and others who have promised to listen. All you got to do is drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. And when we're geared up and ready to launch, we'll be in touch with you and let you know exactly where to go to grab our podcast or listen on your computer. And just a quick note, there are a lot of people who hear podcasts and they think automatically, well, I've got to buy an iPod. Well, that's not true. Podcasting is kind of a generic term now, and we use iTunes, the Apple website, to distribute podcasts, but you don't actually have to have an iPod or other MP3 player in order to catch a podcast. You can listen on your computer, you can download the file, burn it to a CD, and listen in your car that way. So there are all kinds of things that you can do with an audio file that you pull off the web. Here comes Matt Renner. He's now an editor and reporter for truthout.org in Washington, D.C. He's got the White House credentials and was at the first presidential news conference a few weeks back. And Matt was the first producer of the Peter B. Collins Show when we launched from Monterey back in the summer of 2005. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Good to talk to you again. How's it going?
You too. It's going well. It's really nice here in the district for once.
Yeah?
Back turning into spring. I wasn't ready for that whole winter thing. I'd never heard of that before.
Oh, that's right. The surfer boys have to adjust.
Yeah,
well, we've got a balmy day in California today. It's in the low 70s and very nice. So
nice.
I'm glad you're getting good weather there. Well, I wanted
I hate to correct you right at the beginning, but I believe you had one other producer right before me, way back in Monterey.
Elliot?
Yes.
Well, okay. I don't remember Elliot's last name now, and Elliot meant well, but was a problem child.
I was always envious that he got to work with you on the fun stuff, because, my interest in politics was hopefully something that I could help bring to your show, and I think that we did a lot of great work together.
Well, we sure did, and I'm really pleased to see how you have gravitated to Washington. You're doing a lot of great original reporting, and I guess you're doing a lot of editing behind the scenes at Truth Out too.
Doing a good amount, yeah. It's been a lot of fun. I've been going to the White House press briefing a couple times a week, and that is just such a funny scene in there. As you know, those guys who are on TV, all the other ones out there are quite a group of people,
mm-hmm.
And so being behind us has been pretty fascinating so far.
Have you gotten a moment with Helen Thomas yet?
Yeah, actually, she was the first person I talked to there. She's the sweetest person.
Really?
I had no idea what I was doing. I was going to the first press briefing, and she came up to me and said, hi. I said, hi. She's like, I'm Helen Thomas. I was like, yeah, I know who you are. it was very funny. She's sweet.
Well,
she's definitely the most welcoming one of the group.
Uh-huh. And are there any other surprises? Are there actual nice people in the Shark Tank there?
Yeah, I think that they all, I'm not established yet working on the campaign, But they all seem like they have the ability to be really friendly with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a diplomatic way of putting it.
That is. You must be diplomatic because you have to live with them.
Hey, I got a question for you, Peter.
Sure.
Does Billy Sunshine still call into your show?
Not since Monday.
Oh, wow. Because I've been meeting, cause he used to tell me back, way back, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That he was like one of the first Barack Obama supporters. And he would always be telling me, like, Matt, it's Barack Obama. He's going to win. And this is when Hillary was the ultimate, you know, clearly way out in front.
Sure.
He was never going to catch her.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he was the one calling it. He's like, Barack will dominate any Republican. There's no way he can lose.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought about that every time because I was so sure he was wrong.
Well, and that's just one example. Let me riff off that for a moment because Billy, Jake from Eureka, Dave from Eureka, and I don't want to, you know, leave anybody out and hurt your feelings, but we've had so many great callers to this program, people who are very well informed, and people who take the information that we offer and then take it a step further and put it into practice. And there I'm thinking about the election activists who have listened to our weekly segment with Brad Friedman on Fridays, and many of them have become involved themselves in Humboldt County, in Monterey County, and in other parts around the country. And that's really gratifying to see that we can, you know, give people information and propel them to take action with it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was one of my favorite parts about the format was the connection with the people who, you know, went out there and actually, you know, they cared about the national stories that were going on because everyone does and they affect, you know, everything the laws and the making of law. But they go out and then they take that to their local meetings and go to the local Democratic club and go to union meetings and start actually putting into practice a lot of stuff that they talked about and called in about.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Well, and people who ended up going to monitor elections and became slightly a nuisance to the election officials, that's perfect.
Exactly. Good way to keep them on their toes.
Matt, I pulled up just a log of your recent stories at Truth Out, and one that I wanted to single out for praise was the story that you published in February about the secret hotline that the well-connected on Wall Street could use to call the Securities and Exchange Commission and say, back off, dude.
Yeah, well, it's funny that you asked about that. I was doing some follow-up reporting on that today because the story still lives, and a lot of people I've talked to about it, first of all, haven't heard about it because I was the only one that brought that up for some reason, even though it was based on these comments by Congressman Stephen Lynch from Boston, who said during the hearing that insiders from the SEC were telling him that there's this hotline and that they don't like it, and it makes it seem like the SEC is captured. In other words, he is captured by industry. So the hotline was from people on Wall Street to call into the SEC and go above the investigator's level or the examiner's level.
Mm-hmm.
So basically they're calling the boss of the people that are going through their books and saying, you know, basically complaining about these calls. It's interesting because after, you know, I heard that and I got a tip about it from a whistleblower and I looked into it and no one would say anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like he either just wanted to float that little tiny clue out there and have someone go and look at the existence of this hotline, or he got told to stop talking about it. And I can't prove that happened, but I wouldn't be surprised given the amount of, you know, low-level corruption that we've seen in Congress, not overt necessarily, but more like them being the favoring Wall Street above the consumers that they're supposed to represent pretty much across the board.
Well, and I think the low-level corruption you're referring to is just basically, you know, I won't uncover your back if you won't uncover mine.
Exactly. Yeah, CNN just broke a story today that I was just fascinated by because they looked at this bill that's allowing these bonuses to go through. People thought that there was a regulation that could, or a piece of the law that could go in and, you know, strip out these bonuses and prevent this situation, like the thing at AIG, from happening. But they went in there and looked at the bill, and it looked like someone had added language that basically guaranteed these bonuses. And so what they did is they went and called everyone on the committees and figured out that it happened in the conference committee. Or no, they got denials from everyone on the committees. They thought it happened in the conference committee. And then they went back and confronted Chris Dodd about it, and it turned out he was the one that inserted the language to allow these bonuses. So, you know, it shows you that it's not Republicans, it's not Democrats, it's everyone.
Yeah. Well, and do we know who took the language out in conference committee that had been written by Wyden and Feingold that did put restrictions on the use of bailout money for bonuses?
I'm not sure. I think we might be thinking about the same thing here.
Yeah, okay.
I'm guessing it was probably Dodd if he was inserting new language to guarantee them.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's a mess over there right now.
Yeah, well, keep tracking that one down. Also, in your piece about AIG, you quote Bill Black, who was on our program just the other day, and he had a very interesting role there back in the Keating Five that got John McCain and California Senator Cranston in trouble. And we related that to the recent disclosures about Maxine Waters, who, as you know, Matt, I'm very fond of. I love her progressive politics. But as Melanie Sloan described, she's got an ethical blind spot. And she called a meeting of bank regulators, treasury people, to help facilitate a bailout for a community bank in Los Angeles that she did a few years ago. And as a reward for that, they put her husband on the board of directors. And that's a conflict that I can't rationalize or live with.
No, and you'd think they'd be smarter than to do it so obviously.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, some of the work of organizations like Crew, and one of the reasons I loved your show is because you got in there and talked to these organizations that were on the ground, like Crew and Pogo and other watchdogs. They go in and they actually ferret this stuff out that's just sitting out there as kind of an open secret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, Matt, I want to thank you for joining us, and I just want to thank you for the start that you gave us to get this show launched back in the summer of 2005. And you were camped out there in Monterey probably a little longer than you wanted. But I thank you for everything that you did to help us get going, and I'm glad you're doing so well in Washington.
Well, it was absolutely my pleasure, and I have to thank you right back for taking a chance on some kid out of college to try to throw him into the fire. Into the world of media and politics, and I really appreciate it, and I hope that the next chapter is an even better one. So,
all right.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Matt, and let's say happy birthday to a gal we know named Rona.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Mom.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, Peter, I'll talk to you later.
Very good, sir. Coming up next, Harvey Wasserman, the no-nukes guy, the guy who says, let's clean up our elections, starting in Ohio, where he's based. He'll be with us next, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire Cornucopia Landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's a little ditty by Jackson Browne. It's called Information Wars. Minutes in front of the hour, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're tracking down Harvey Wasserman, a Renaissance man, despite the fact that he's based in Columbus, Ohio. He's the author most recently of Solartopia, and I happen to be wearing my Solartopia t-shirt today. Just keep calling. He's there somewhere, Katrina. And Harvey and Bob Fetrakis, his partner in crime at the online news publication called Free Press that's based in Columbus, have been on the front lines of fighting the election fraud, particularly the stolen presidential election of 2004 in Ohio. And it's pretty clear, based on the forensic work of Richard Hayes Phillips, that John Kerry clearly won, and not by just a few votes, but as many as 180,000. And that is a swing of almost 300,000 between what the official tally reported and what the forensic analysis shows. And Harvey has been a great friend of the Peter B. Collins Show over the years. He was out here in December, and we got a chance to visit with him in person and talk with him a couple of times then. He is also a historian who joined us on Inauguration Day to speculate about whether George Washington was straight. There's at least some information to indicate that He might have been either bisexual or gay. So that's what Harvey's up to, and we're trying to find him right now. So we'll get him on the air here in just a moment. If you'd like to call in with a comment or you want to talk to Harvey, lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And we look forward to talking with you a little bit later in the program. Eve Pell will be joining us, and also Ray McGovern, the former CIA operative and analyst, who will tell us a little bit more about Dick Cheney's assassination ring. Harvey Wasserman, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Peter B., it's great to be with you. An honor.
Let me say no nukes before you do.
No more stolen election.
Well, as we were vamping here, I just explained that I am sporting your Solartopia t-shirt today, so thank you for enhancing my wardrobe.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I'm always very wardrobe conscious, as you well know.
Oh, yeah. A sartorial, a sartorial king from Columbus, Ohio.
Right. One of my great ambitions in life, really a commitment in life, is to never, ever be overdressed. And thus far, I've got such a huge margin. Probably take many lifetimes to get over that one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Harvey, I wanted to get your take because, as our listeners know, we're winding down this program. Friday will be our last broadcast, and we're moving to the Internet, and I'm excited about that. But I know a lot of people are disappointed. Some of them don't have computers or won't really be able to make the transition with us, and I'm sorry about that. I'm going to miss those people. But I wanted to get your thoughts because there in Columbus, Ohio, a progressive radio was on and off and then on again, and now it's off again. And you're in a critical state that Obama flipped in 2008, and it appears that efforts to steal the election there either were forestalled or canceled. We don't know exactly. But I think a lot of people don't really understand how bereft Ohio is of any media that isn't right-wing.
Yeah, it's amazing. Bob Fitrakis and I had shows, along with the gay community, on the local progressive talk radio show. Station and our ratings were very steadily climbing. We were getting a lot of phone calls, a lot of good comments. And then one day we were informed that the Catholic Church had bought our station, and they spent the hour I had on for the Solartopia show, where we discussed renewable energy and the coming green economy. That first hour was devoted to a discussion of whether the Virgin Mary ever had sex.
Well, how about,
actually, I wanted to do a show on that, too, but, you know.
How about the Pope this week going to Africa and counseling people not to use condoms to reduce the transmission of HIV?
Well, you know, I teach, I just got done teaching a quarter of early history, ancient Greece and Rome, carrying through the Middle Ages. And did you know that celibacy for the priests was not really put in place until 1100 A.D.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus did not run around telling people not to have sex. You know, this is not part of the routine.
Yeah,
and
right.
The reason that the church did it was to save money. They did not want to be supporting the families of the priests. And all they had thousands of priests all over Europe in 1100 or so who were ordered to kick out their wives. And say goodbye to their children.
Well, even in the Medici period, though, in the Middle Ages, the Renaissance there, there were married popes.
Yeah.
At least two that I'm aware of.
Yeah, and popes who had mistresses and the whole deal. And so now, you know, now what we've done is created a gay clergy all over the world.
And it's working real well. There was a recent accounting that the Catholic Church has paid out more than $2.6 billion in settlements because of the sexual misdeeds of priests.
Right, and they're just starting, believe me.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the tip of the iceberg.
All right, but before we go on a rant against the Catholic Church, which we just did, what about media in Columbus? Is the free press really it now?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have a couple of, you know, those classic yuppie alternative papers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not paper anymore. We're strictly on the web.
Right.
The
yeah.
Columbus Free Press, which is, by the way, the one of the last surviving remnants of the 1960s and 70s underground press that proliferated during the Vietnam era.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a direct correlation from us back then.
That's when you were palling around with terrorists.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh.
I was a co-founder. Actually, since you're going off the air, I will reveal here that Bill Ayers, you know, who was
sure.
being yelled at by
Sarah Palin. Yeah, he's been on our show twice.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was mm-hmm. my classmate at the University of Michigan.
No kidding.
And we did indeed pal around in Union Arbor in 1966-67. We were both seniors.
Wow. You still in touch?
I just had lunch with his brother, Rick, who lives in Berkeley.
Uh-huh.
And teaches in the high school there.
Right.
So, but I hadn't seen Rick for 40 years.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Bill was on twice, and the second time his wife, Bernadine, came on, too. It was very interesting.
No, he's a brilliant guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, what can I tell you? That yelling at him sure did work.
Well, Harvey, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for all your contributions.
Hey, you are the greatest, Peter. It's a national tragedy here, and you, You know, we need to get a few billion dollars together and buy our radio shows. So really what
I was holding out for a retention bonus after I leave the air.
Well, what really needs to happen is that the licensing has to change so we can get on the radio without paying millions of dollars for these ridiculous stations.
Indeed. We need media reform, and in the meantime, you'll find us on the web starting in June.
Well, I'll be looking for you, and we'll talk some more about Solartopia. Enjoy your shirt.
All right. Thank you. Harvey Wasserman in Columbus. Go to solartopia.org and find out more about his work on alternative energy. We'll take a break and return. Eve Pell has published a new book. And it's fascinating. She'll tell us about it as she joins us right after the top of the hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
High drama in the hearing room.
The head of AIG goes into the congressional lion's den to defend those million-dollar bonuses. I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
Fed takes new steps to spur lending and the economy. I'm Barry Bagnetto in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The battle of the bonuses was waged under the lights at a House hearing today.
With members of Congress falling over each other to show more outrage, the head of the giant insurance firm AIG came before a committee and said he's asked executives to return at least half their bonuses.
To step up and do the right thing.
Edward Liddy, brought in to run AIG by the government for a dollar a year, said he didn't want to lose critical workers because the mess AIG got itself into still threatens the financial markets.
Mistakes were made at AIG on a scale few could have ever imagined possible.
Democrat Steve Israel wants all the bonuses returned.
It belongs to the American taxpayer, and we're going to get it back.
The House will vote tomorrow on a bill to put a 90% tax on bonuses paid not only at AIG, but Bank of America, Citibank, and others who got huge federal bailouts. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Obama, before he left for California this morning, said his administration didn't create the AIG mess, but he accepted the responsibility to fix it.
The buck stops with me, and my goal is to make sure that we never put ourselves in this kind of position again.
The mortgage companies Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, propped up with tens of billions of dollars in federal aid, plan to pay retention bonuses to their key executives. At Fannie Mae, the payouts could be as much as $611,000 each. Now this.
You can learn a lot about a car company just by listening to its cars. How solid it is. How efficiently it runs. How well it drives years down the road. One car company puts its quality out there every day for everyone to hear. General Motors. Because we know building quality cars is the most important thing we can do. That's why we back our cars with the best coverage in America. The 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Fully transferable limited powertrain coverage for up to 5 years or 100,000 miles. Plus, roadside assistance and courtesy transportation on most cars and light-duty trucks we sell. Confidence you can trust in a car you'll absolutely love. Want to know the kind of company GM really is? All you have to do is listen. We let our cars do the talking. To hear more about General Motors and the kinds of cars we build, visit GM.com. 5 years, 100,000 miles, whichever comes first. See dealer for warranty details.
No one expected the Federal Reserve to change interest rates today, and it didn't, but it did announce a major new effort to stimulate the credit system.
Keeping its pledge to use all tools at its disposal, the Fed says it's going to buy up more than $1 trillion worth of securities to shore up real estate, consumer, and small business lending.
The Fed, if anything, probably going into overkill at this point.
First Trust Advisor, senior economist Robert Stein.
But it just wants to make completely sure that we get out of this recession.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The Fed's move is expected to drive mortgage rates even lower. Already there's a rush to refinance. The Mortgage Bankers Association says applications were up 21% last week. On Wall Street, the Dow started the day lower, but CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus reports it closed 90 points higher at 74.86.
We saw bank stocks, insurance stocks continue their recent rally, and that's what led the market higher. And the stocks really turned on a dime. Once we heard that the Fed was going to buy up bonds, that's when we saw buyers jump back into this market.
Today, Bernie Madoff's accountant became the first person other than Madoff himself to be charged in connection with the massive investment fraud. David Freeling audited the books for 17 years. WCBS Radio's Irene Cornell was at the courthouse when Freeling was brought in.
The U.S. attorney, Lev Dasin, said that he is not charged with having knowledge of the Ponzi scheme, but he is charged with deceiving investors by falsely stating that he had audited the financial statements of Madoff's business. His deception, said the prosecutor, helped foster the illusion that Madoff had legitimately invested clients' monies, which he had not.
Stop loss is one of the military's biggest morale killers. It's the policy that keeps soldiers on duty beyond their enlistment dates when the Army needs troops. Today, Defense Secretary Robert Gates said he'll put an end to it.
Our goal is to cut the number of those stop lost by 50% by June 2010. And to eliminate the regular use of stop loss across the entire Army by March 2011.
Since the invasion of Iraq, some 13,000 soldiers have been forced to serve after their time was up. Gates says that's breaking faith, just not the right thing to do. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Cell phones tend to do one thing during a collision. Hide. Underneath your seat, next to a corn chip, in that itty-bitty space by your armrest. With OnStar Automatic Crash Response, sensors are built in and can automatically send crash details and your exact GPS location to an advisor who can help responders be more prepared. No cell phone can do that, especially one that's fled the scene. OnStar is standard for the first year on 14 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
Control. You expect it from your brakes. At Midas, you're in control of your brakes maintenance, too, with up to $50 off brake pads or shoes installed. Right now, we'll take a thorough look at your entire brake system. And only if you need them, install new brake pads or shoes. That's up to $50 off brake pads or shoes. Midas. We're on this road together.
$25 per axle. Most vehicles ends April 4th at participating Midas.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Check the label. Antidotes should be applied liberally. Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live in Eureka, we're live in Monterey if the power's back on, and we're live in Missoula, Montana. Hello, everybody. And in San Francisco, it's just about 2 a.m.
It's 2 a.m.
Later this hour, Ray McGovern will return to our program. He served for more than 25 years at the Central Intelligence Agency. He was the guy who gave Reagan his daily briefings back in the 80s, and he's become a sharp critic of the misdeeds of the agency under Bush and Cheney. And we'll ask him about the story the media is ignoring right now, the Seymour Hersh revelation about Dick Cheney's assassination ring. And there was John Gibson with his exclusive interview of Dick Cheney on CNN the other day. And he said, well, aren't you to blame for the economic mess? And Cheney flipped it off. And then John King didn't ask him about the assassination squad. That's ahead in our third hour, available on most of these great radio stations, but always available online at peterbcollins.com. Tim Carpenter will join us from Progressive Democrats for America and Congressman Dennis Kucinich, my favorite candidate for president in 04 and 08. And a man who stands for accountability and investigation of the wrongdoing in the Bush era And he's got a new effort related to the Cheney assassination squad that we'll talk about with the congressman just about an hour from now. Eve Pell joins us now. Her new book is called We Used to Own the Bronx, Memoirs of a Former Debutante. And I went to Madame Fedorova's Dancing and Deportment, and I was always told to address a debutante by saying, how do you do?
Very well indeed, and thank you so much.
It's great to see you, eh, Eve?
Well, it's great to be here, and I'm so happy to be on your show. I've always been an admirer.
Well, thank you. So, you've written a memoir, and why? Why did you decide to tell about your blue blood background and the way you diverged from what was expected of you as you were raised?
Well, I do come from a strange subculture in America, the sort of upper crust blue blood WASP, and whenever I told the stories to ordinary people of how I was raised, their eyebrows went up, and they said, you're kidding. You got to write a book. And so I sort of tucked that away. And then there's actually, apart from just telling funny stories about rich people in their enclaves, there's a darker side to all of this, and that was a motivator for me to write this book, which both shows the fun, but also the underside of all that privilege. I come from a family with a lot of divorces and remarriages,
mm-hmm.
12 brothers and sisters, if you count all the steps and the halves, but only one real brother, 2 years younger than me, and he could not fit into the demands of the class. He could not be a young gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And after failure, when he was 26, he shot himself.
Oh, boy.
And there was somehow, this was really not acknowledged by my family particularly. They didn't change how they did business. They didn't talk about it the way they really didn't talk about much of anything else. And this book is dedicated to my brother.
Yeah. I mean, your mom comes off just this side of Leona Helmsley.
My mom...
And hopefully she's not listening.
I'm lucky because my mother and my father are both dead. Not sure I could have published this when they were still alive. But my mother used to refer to herself as a Ferrari, as a very finely tuned machine that needed the best and the most delicate and the most concentrated attention. Other people, she thought, were sort of Chevys and Fords.
And
didn't need all that and probably couldn't appreciate it anyway if they even had it.
And did you ever really connect with your mom before she died? It seems like you had a very difficult, lifelong, chilly relationship.
Well, that was true. But then what was a godsend to all her 5 children, she got Alzheimer's.
Mm.
And when she got Alzheimer's, she somehow got nice.
Wow.
When I was 67 years old, that was for the very first time, she told me that she loved me. And for all of us to have about 5 years when she was kind of gradually losing it, we saw a side of her we never saw when we grew up.
Hmm.
So even though she lived on the East Coast on her horse farm and I was out here in California, I flew back fairly often. And my job was as the sort of researcher when she needed a home to go stay in. I found one for her. So we really did connect at the end. And it was, what was interesting to me was sometimes it would be, I'd be sitting with her and she'd get this anxious look and she'd say, did you have a nice childhood? Did you have a happy childhood? And I, at that point, said, of course I did. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting to me that she even thought like that. So she must have had a few second thoughts.
Yeah. Eve Pell with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question for her, give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. So you're a member of those Pells. Senator Claiborne Pell, perhaps the best known of your family, say, in the last few decades. What is the origin of the family fortune?
There are three parts to it. One is just plain land. Thomas Pell came over from England in 1635. He bought a whole swath of land stretching from New York, what's now New York City then too, up along Long Island side toward, up along Long Island Sound toward Connecticut. And he paid for this in cider and tools and a little bit of money. But he believed or he claimed that this land comprised what is now Westchester County and the Bronx, hence the title, We Used to Own the Bronx. A little bit flimsy. And the land sort of gradually got eaten away by sales and other people and the Indians selling it to 2 or 3 more folks. But we did end up owning about 8 or 10 square miles in what is now Westchester County, and that was signed over as the Manor of Pelham, the Lordship and Manor of Pelham, to Thomas Pell. So Claiborne always said we were the only family in America whose land stemmed both from the Indians and the British Crown.
Hmm. Very interesting. Now, how did Fort Ticonderoga fall into your family's control or possession?
Oh, we owned it.
Well, that wasn't disclosed when I went there. I've been to Fort Ty,
yeah.
And I went there as a tourist as a child, and I thought it was owned, like, by the state of New York or something.
Well, it is owned by a nonprofit nonprofit corporation now, but it was always just plain owned by the family. And Stephen Pell, who was, I guess, a cousin of my grandfather's generation, used to stand at the entrance to Fort Ty. Mm-hmm. And if a visitor wasn't dressed modestly enough, he would send her away. And if your name had been Pell and you had gone into the shop, they would have given you a discount.
Oh, how nice. I'm really, I'll mention that next time. I'll say, well, I know Eve.
Right.
We'll see what that gets me. Well, your price is double.
Could be. Now, the Pells, we were on the wrong side of the Revolution, and we went off to Canada, where many people got cold and died. And taking a boat up to Canada, or down, I forget which, was William Ferris Pell, who saw Fort Ticonderoga then in ruins, mm-hmm. fell in love with it, and after he'd made a fortune importing granite and wood to New York City, he went and bought it from Columbia.
Wow. Very interesting. Now, Eve, I want to skip over a few things. There's a lot in your book, but what fascinated me is your connection to the Soledad Brothers trial. You met George Jackson. You were working for Attorney Faye Stender as a kind of reporter and activist. It seemed like you merged those two roles. And you ended up becoming fairly close with George Jackson. And at one point, I can't remember if it was you or your son who wrote him a letter. I guess you first said that you had not really met black people who hadn't been servants.
That's quite right.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, in fact, I never went to school with a black person until I got to college. It was that segregated, and mm-hmm. I was that far removed. But what happened and what changed my thinking, really, was an accident. I was in San Francisco. I knew a writer named Paul Jacobs who was looking for a research assistant. His book was a history of the different races in the U.S. and how they had been treated. And so I kind of got a crash course in what had happened to blacks, Indians, Asians, and so on. Then when this book was finally done and published, Paul said to me, all right, you've had an apprenticeship. Now you're a writer. And I think you should go see this woman named Faye Stender. She's mm-hmm. a lawyer. She has an interesting case. Her client then was George Jackson. So I went with Faye to some pretrial hearings in Salinas. George mm-hmm. was up for murder of a guard at Soledad.
Right.
Three black prisoners, three activist prisoners, had recently been gunned down in an exercise yard. The court had said this was justifiable homicide. The blacks at Soledad were enraged, and a white guard was subsequently killed. Mm-hmm. George accused of killing the guard, and along with two other prisoners. So I went down, and there in the courtroom, these three men came in clanking in chains, the judge giving every opportunity to the prosecution, none to the defense, and it was just startlingly unfair to me. Then I visited George in prison, interviewed him, and when my son Daniel was about 10, he was playing in a park in San Francisco, and he had some brushes with black kids who took away his bike and harassed him. He came home saying, Mom, I don't want to become a racist, but only black kids are bothering me. So I told him to write George Jackson, which he did.
Yeah.
And then George wrote him back saying, and George was a great karate expert, and he wrote Daniel back saying, you know, it was, he shouldn't take this personally, but that white guys had been bad to the black fathers, and so the black kids were being mean to him really because he was white and kind of payback.
And the system in a general way.
A whole racist system. And he told Daniel he would have to earn their respect, fight back, and he drew a drawing of a karate move, a flying side thrust, that, mm-hmm. that he thought he recommended Daniel use this. Daniel writes him back saying, Dear George, I'm 4'8". I weigh 70 pounds. Getting beat up is not, you know, it's not worth it, having my bicycle taken for a little while. And then he signed it in those sort of that revolutionary fervor, we would sometimes sign letters yours in the struggle, so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Daniel signed his, yours almost in the struggle, Daniel.
We'll pick up there and talk more about Eve Pell's work in the prisons, her connection to George Jackson, the tragic events at San Quentin in 1970. And if you have a question or comment, there's room for your call at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Thea Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in King City, we have a new injury collision on Hobson Avenue at Central Avenue. Other than that, traffic is looking pretty good in the Tri-County area, so have a great commute this afternoon. In weather today, we're having sunny and clear skies with temperatures ranging from highs in the low 70s to lows in the upper 50s. Tonight will be mostly clear in the evening with lows in the upper 40s. Here are your afternoon temperatures. Right now in Monterey, it's 61 degrees. Salinas is 72 degrees. And Santa Cruz is pulling in at 69 degrees. Well, that's your AM 540 traffic and weather. Have a great afternoon and stay tuned for more of the awe-inspiring Peter B. Collins.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Eve Pell. Her brand new memoir is called We Used to Own the Bronx, Memoirs of a Former Debutante. And she went on to become an activist, a journalist, and a major runner. You won the Dipsy race in...
1989.
Wow. And you're still running?
I was last year. I've had a couple knee surgeries, and I'm hoping to get back.
I see. That can slow you down.
I had 30 good years.
Uh-huh. Going back to George Jackson and your work in the prisons, the events in San Quentin in 1970 when George's younger brother brought guns into the courtroom and an attorney, Stephen...
Stephen Bingham.
Bingham.
But you've got, you're running two incidents together.
Okay.
1970 was Jonathan Jackson, George's younger brother, coming into the courthouse in Marin County with guns,
right.
Kidnapping the judge, taking them away,
mm-hmm.
and then getting shot and killed in a shootout with guards.
Okay.
That was August
1970. Bingham brought a gun into the prison in a tape recorder.
A year later, mm-hmm. 1971, Stephen Bingham was accused of bringing a gun inside a tape recorder and visiting with George Jackson, then leaving. Then after that, George set off an escape attempt inside the prison in which three guards and three prisoners were killed, and the floors of the unit in San Quentin were just running in blood. It was a horrible
mm-hmm.
Event, and George was shot in the prison yard running out.
Yeah. So as you look back, what are your reflections?
Well, I was completely horrified that those things happened. This wasn't what I signed up for, doing prison reform. But I should tell you that, in a funny way, one of the documents that got me into prison work, was expressed there fully. There was a suit about terrible conditions in Owing and Soledad in which the conditions of punishment cells were described, how prisoners were locked in concrete boxes, essentially the floors covered with excrement, no light, concrete to sleep on, terrible things to eat, and so on.
Sounds like Guantanamo.
Kind of. And then the judge, in ruling that these things were a violation of prisoners' rights, said that such conditions drive men to violence and to terrible bursts of revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the conditions in the maximum security really made people crazy, paranoid, just fixated on revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And George had gotten some notoriety with his book, Soledad Brother. People were coming to see him. There was a lot of kind of revolutionary fervor at the time. The Weather Underground was around. There was a lot of anti-war stuff.
We need to remind people, too, about what the government was doing. J. Edgar Hoover had launched COINTELPRO. I was in Chicago, and the Black Panthers were framed in a shootout that was, you know, totally orchestrated by the FBI and the Chicago police.
That was the killing of Fred Hampton, probably.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Panthers were being shot.
Yeah. And so at the time, they were infiltrating the Black Panthers and other activist groups and using paid informants, kind of like the way they do now in the so-called war on terror, to frame people. And they were trying to play one activist off against another and try to splinter and fracture these groups into killing one another.
They succeeded very well with the Black Panthers here.
Yeah.
There was terrible internal fights, and a lot of them ended up dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the government doing these things. You've got people locked away under just inhuman conditions for years and years and years. And in many ways, these explosions of violence were not surprising. And then shortly after that came Attica in New York.
Yeah. Well, and then came crack cocaine and the so-called war on drugs, which has led to one-third of African-American males being either in prison or somehow in contact with the criminal justice system, parole or that sort of thing.
I mean, here's a number that just blows me away. We were upset in 1971 that 22,000 people were inmates in California prisons. The number is now much closer to 160,000,
yeah.
And many new prisons have been built. And one of the things I'm really sorry about was that the work we tried to do, educating people about how counterproductive prisons were, it just didn't seem to work at all.
Well, you're right about that. And the hysteria over the three strikes law, I tried to block the passage of that, but Richard Allen Davis was on trial, O.J. Simpson was on trial at that time, And people weren't rational about it. It's just, well, I saw on my TV a grisly criminal, and so I'm going to vote to lock him up and throw away the key.
In the last 10 years, a lot of crime rates have gone down, but prisoners now serve longer years inside than they did before.
Yeah. Eve Pell, it's a real pleasure to meet you, and I want people to pick up your book. It's just been published, called We Used to Own the Bronx, subtitled Memoirs of a Former Debutante. You've got a great life, and I'm glad you're sharing it with us.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good to see you. Coming up next, Ray McGovern returns to the Peter B. Collins Show. He served our nation at the Central Intelligence Agency. We'll ask him about Dick Cheney's assassination team and a few other issues. That's coming up. You can grab a podcast of this portion or any other part of the Peter B. Collins Show. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. This program's produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
How soon they forget. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Today, Republicans and Democrats join hands to scold AIG for its 2008 executive bonuses. Bonuses that were granted even as the company was tanking. But they seem to have forgotten that when AIG was first bailed out last year by President Bush, the cry was, what? Socialism! The government taking over a private company. There was also a presidential campaign going on at the time. And what was the big story? Barack Obama wanting to tax wealthy Americans to get them to share their wealth. He was going to let the top tax rate go back to 39.6%. Socialism, cried Joe the Plumber. Last month, as you probably heard, there was an amendment to the stimulus bill to regulate big Wall Street bonuses. However, bonuses awarded before the bill were mysteriously exempted. Nobody seems to know why that exemption was slipped in. Well, I'm guessing it was because somebody decided that for the government to control salaries at a private company would be seen as socialism. But nobody cares about that now. Even talk radio cultists who worship cigar-smoking capitalism want the money back. And listen to Charles Schumer.
We will take this money back by taxing virtually all of it.
Never mind 39.6%. That's a tax of 100%. But Dave, you say AIG was paying millions to people who didn't perform. Yeah, so what? Corporate America has been doing that for years. Major League Baseball has been doing that for years. You know which website is loving this? I quote today's entry, quote, "This is setting the stage for a new period of class struggle in America." That's WSWS.org, the World Socialist website. Now this.
Today, just about every ad you hear will mention saving you money, yet very few of them offer a really good deal. Well, Sprint's about to change that. Business customers can buy one Motorola i576 for $69.99 and get up to four free. All with Nextel Direct Connect, the fastest national push-to-talk network. Call 1-800-NEXTEL-9, only on the Now Network. Fastest based on initial call setup time. Not available on all channels. See Sprint stores for availability. Ends 4/18/09. Subject to two-year agreement up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit per line. Restrictions apply.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go, where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service features full service, friendly, fast, same-day service. Or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located at 4665 Soquel Drive at the intersection with Porter Street and Soquel. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, counting down to our final broadcast this Friday. Get the full information on my website at peterbcollins.com. And drop me an email so we can alert you when we launch our new podcast program, probably in June. That's our favorite song about spooks. It's called Spy in the House of Love by Was Not Was. And one of our favorite retired spooks is Ray McGovern. He served at the Central Intelligence Agency for over 20 years. As we mentioned, he gave President Reagan the daily briefing back in the 1980s. And he's been a faithful and regular contributor to the Peter B. Collins Show on intelligence issues over the last 3.5 years. Ray, welcome back.
It's great to be back with you. I'm sorry that we're going to have a little change to podcasts, but I hope that you'll keep me in mind.
Well, I'd love to have you on our podcast when we get going, Ray. And, you know, it's going to be a very interesting transition, but we do find that a lot of our current listeners listen either on their computer or later on an iPod when they're jogging, driving a truck, or, putting the kids to bed. And so it works for them. We are, unfortunately, going to lose some of the people who are still, you know, using AM radio as their primary listening device. And it's just a kind of a confluence of events in terms of my own personal financial situation, and we blame Bush for fleecing me, and the general, you know, lack of progress in our march to get to a meaningful level of stations, you know, a critical mass where the whole thing makes sense on a business level.
Yeah.
So it's disappointing, and, you know, we're working through it kind of like any other loss that people experience. But I'm really touched by the people who have reached out, pledged to subscribe to the podcast, and asked to be put on the email list. And we're building that, so everybody should get in touch if you haven't already. And we'll be able to alert you when we get ready for the next phase.
Great.
So, Ray, I wanted to talk to you about a couple of issues. One of the threads that we've been talking about is this astounding revelation that came from Seymour Hersh about a week ago that Dick Cheney had an assassination team. And it's a very sketchy set of revelations because Hersh is working on a book that probably will detail this and other matters. But he did allow that this team operated both in the United States and around the world, and that it was affiliated with your former employer, the Central Intelligence Agency. And what's notable is that we're now being distracted by the bonuses for AIG executives, when the real issue is the bailout billions that were funneled into AIG. And likewise, when John King got his exclusive interview with Cheney just a few days ago on CNN, he asked him a presumably tough question about the bad shape of the economy that they left for the new president, but didn't express any interest, didn't even raise the issue of this charge about assassination squads.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this will continue to be the case with the what I call the fawning corporate media. That's why folks like you are so important, Peter B., and with respect to what Cy Hersh divulged, it surprises me not in the least. When Rumsfeld was around, he figured a way to get around the restrictions on the CIA to do this kind of thing. there is an executive order that prohibits assassinations. And also, if the CIA is going to be involved in these kinds of things, then a finding, a presidential finding, is necessary or required by law. Now, if you have the military do it, you know, if you have the Special Operations Command, and you can second CIA people under that command, then you're home free. You don't have to tell Congress. You don't have to tell the ambassador. You don't have to tell the chief of station, the CIA station, in whatever country. You just send these experts in, and they do their job. It's amazing.
But now, explain what you meant by second. You say that the Army teams were seconded by CIA?
Well, no, the Army teams can do what they want. The CIA is restricted by law from doing these kinds of things. But if you second the Army folks to the Special Operations Command, in other words, if you put them on detail there, then the Special Operations Command is literally in command, and they can pretty much do what they want without any reference to, as I say, the Congress or the ambassador in a particular country that they're going to do this in, or even the head of the CIA there. That's how renegade, or how unusual it is, because Cheney just has this utter disregard for any semblance of legality or even morality, in my view.
Perhaps the term you were looking for is rogue nation?
The
one we apply to other people that do these kinds of things?
Yeah, they're only the Libyans and the Iranians, those bad guys. We're not rogue nations. We just do what we want because we're the sole remaining superpower in the world. Mm-hmm. You know that, Peter B.
So, Ray, what do you think we need to do to get full disclosure on this information? Because this is not just some political witch hunt. This is not trying to extract vengeance. This is really about very fundamental American values, the rule of law. And we need to dig into this, but it seems that there is no appetite in Washington.
Well, first thing that needs to be done on this score is to replace the commander of the Special Operations Command and make sure that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff makes sure himself that he's apprised of all these activities and that he stops them. That is within the power of Barack Obama to do. More important, in my view, is to get to the bottom of the more scurrilous, I don't know how to describe them, the incredible, now documented practices of torture. There's a dispute here in this town as to whether we should do a commission, make a commission, look over all the evidence and educate the American people, and then and only then, if prosecution seems to be required, then go ahead and do that. Well, with all the new revelations, Peter B., you know, we have the vice president and the president in their exit interviews. Vice President admitting to authorizing waterboarding.
Mm-hmm.
Waterboarding is torture. Now we have the revelations from the Red Cross, which are incredible. I advise everyone to take a look, maybe not before dinner, but to take a look at what Mark Danner has published in the New York Review of Books this week. It's very, very interesting reading, and it shows the depths of depravity that the folks who are torturing these so-called high-value detainees, the depths to which they have sunk.
Well, Ray, let me take a moment here to read an excerpt from Danner's article. It was condensed into the op-ed section of the New York Times, so there's a lengthier version in the New York Review of Books. And it is based on the International Committee for the Red Cross report regarding these detainees and their treatment by the United States. Now, this is from a section about the interrogation of Abu Zubaydah. I was taken out of my cell, and one of the interrogators wrapped a towel around my neck. They then used it to swing me around and smash me repeatedly against the hard walls of the room. He was then put in a coffin-like black box, 4 by 3 feet, 6 feet high, for what I think was about 1.5 to 2 hours. The box was totally black on the inside as well as the outside. They put a cloth or cover over the outside of the box to cut out the light, restrict my air supply. It was difficult to breathe. When I was let out of the box, I saw that one of the walls of the room had been covered with plywood sheeting. From now on, it was against this wall that I was then smashed with the towel around my neck. And he goes on to describe how they then, after some more mistreatment, put him up on a table, strapped him down, and waterboarded him. So these are very clear violations of the Geneva Conventions, and there is no John Yoo memo that can change that.
That's right, Peter B., and what most people don't realize that the John Yoo memo was dated, or Bybee memo, Bybee signed it, dated the 1st of August, 2002. Zubeda was captured on the 28th of March, 2002. So even if the administration and those responsible for these activities want to pretend that they were just following the advice of counsel, you know, that the lawyer said it was okay, well, they can't really do that now because those mafia lawyers were hired to do an ex post facto sort of thing with respect to Abu Zubeda. The torture had already taken place. Now, who authorized the torture? There's a smoking gun, Peter B., and you may have heard me say this before. It's a memo, two-pager, of February 7, 2002, signed in, inch-and-a-half felt-tip pen by George W. Bush, which says to his national security officials, to include the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as well as the CIA director and all the others, it says, we shall treat detainees humanely as appropriate and as consistent with military necessity. We don't have to worry about Geneva. Now, that's not what Geneva says. That's not what the War Crimes Act says. And to put the icing on the cake here, when people like General Sanchez were asked, well, under what authorization did you let the dogs be used and that kind of thing? He says the executive order of the President of the United States. That's the authorization. If you ask the FBI people who took over, who were dislodged after quizzing Abu Zubeda, the CIA comes in and starts doing these extraordinary procedures or whatever you want to call them, this harsh interrogation stuff, this torture. The FBI says, well, what kind of authorization do you have for that? You know what they told? Well, the President has ordered this since February memo. So there's a trail of consequential decisions starting on February the 7th, 2002. Download it from the web, folks, and you can see it applied to Abu Zubeda before any of these fancy lawyers thought they could, quote, justify it and say, well, it's not really torture unless you almost die or unless you have a major organ failure or something like that.
So, Ray McGovern, the other thing that I think is crucial here for people to understand is the very high-level involvement. We know what happened with the Abu Ghraib case, where Lindy England and Charlie Grainer were basically made out to be the beginning and end of that problem. But we know that it was the Principals Committee of the National Security Council, which included, as you referenced, the head of the CIA, Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Secretary of State, Colin Powell, was involved in those discussions. And he comes off as, because he resigned after the first term, as somehow a little better than the others. And I'm sorry, he's in the soup with Condoleezza Rice, with Donald Rumsfeld, George Tenet. And it's chilling.
And John Ashcroft,
the Attorney General.
Protects our laws, right? And
so,
we said after one of these sessions, you know, I don't think we might, maybe should we be doing this here in the White House?
Yeah.
I don't think history will be kind to us.
Yeah. And so there was direct involvement. They were approving these techniques individually as they were being applied to these prisoners. And so this again screams for investigation and accountability, because this was lawbreaking, intentional, at the highest levels of our government.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, the denouement is right now. This dispute as to whether it should have a commission or a special prosecutor, and I know where I stand on that. I know where Michael Ratner stands on that. It's very, very clear with all these recent revelations, including admissions by the president and the vice president, the goods is out there. Anybody who's interested in learning the truth, it's already been publicized. They've bragged about these things. Get a special prosecutor. Get Patrick Fitzgerald back. You know, get somebody with the kind of authority he had on the Plame case and let him do his job. The attorney general can busy himself with other things. Give this guy some independence, because you know what? If that doesn't happen, we have some really bad signs now, Peter B., with respect to the CIA. The CIA director, Leon Panetta, mm-hmm. to my dismay, has said he's going to appoint Warren Rudman to help him with the Senate investigation. Now, the last Senate investigation that Warren Rudman was involved in had to do with Gulf War illness, Peter B.
Wow.
And he covered up the whole thing.
Yeah.
And what most people don't know is that one out of every three of those 690,000 troops we had in theater, one out of every three has applied for and has been approved for disability benefits.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of guy that you usher in here if you want to cover up things. And unless a special prosecutor is appointed, we're not going to get to the bottom of this thing.
I'm with you and Michael Ratner 100%, Ray. We don't need a truthiness commission. We need to use the law. We need to use the federal prosecutors and the courts, just as they denied the detainees access to our justice system. We need to give them special access to it. We'll take a break and return with Ray McGovern. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In King City, we have a new injury collision on Hobson Avenue at Central Avenue. And heading up to Santa Cruz, we have a traffic hazard on Graham Hill Road, just south of Roaring Camp Road. Moving over to the Holish-Chagoa area, on Fitzgerald Road at Santa Teresa Boulevard, we have a no-injury collision. In weather, today is sunny and beautiful, with highs in the low 70s and lows in the upper 50s. Tonight will be mostly clear this evening, with lows in the upper 40s. Right now in Monterey, it's 60 degrees, Salinas is 67 degrees, and in Santa Cruz, it's 71 degrees. That's your KRXA traffic and weather. Stick around for more of the awesome Peter B. Collins Show.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today, Media Matters, takes a look back at the last 9 weeks to show that since day one of his presidency, the media have speculated that Barack Obama's honeymoon is over, leaving some to wonder if the honeymoon ever happened.
Is it possible the bipartisan honeymoon is over already?
The media honeymoon for the new president may already be over.
And tonight at Hannity's America, the president's honeymoon with the press is already over.
In fact, in the past few months, so many have questioned whether the honeymoon is over that the media have left the cliched phrase all but meaningless. But today's most outrageous comment goes to Fox News' David Asman, comparing President Obama to convicted con man Bernie Madoff.
So you think Bernie's $65 billion Ponzi scheme is the biggest scam ever? Think again. Steve Forbes says President Obama and his friends in Congress are ripping you off more than Madoff ever could.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Hi, I'm Audrey Williams.
And I'm Melvin Williams.
Check out our new show, Holy Hip Hop on the Block, every Saturday from 10 to 12 noon, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Check us out.
Dr. Sandra Steingraber will be at the CSUMB campus this Wednesday, March 11th at 7 p.m. This is a free lecture on environmental links to cancer and reproductive health. Dr. Sandra Steingraber at the World Theater, CSUMB campus, Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. Doors open at 6. Reservations available. Call 582-4580. This event is free.
Take.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 8 minutes in front of the hour. We're talking with former CIA analyst Ray McGovern. And, Ray, got a couple of callers for you, but before we go to them, I just want to get your comment on the railroading of Charles Freeman, Chaz Freeman, a former ambassador to Saudi Arabia, and a guy who, you know, by all accounts is not a dangerous lefty or, you know, out of the woodwork liberal, but who had critical thoughts about our policies toward Israel, about the mess in Afghanistan, about the urgency of Pakistan, and because of the Israeli lobby, he was basically forced out before he could even begin his job in the Obama administration, and it was a critical job, the guy who prepares the national intelligence estimates.
That's exactly right. Chaz Freeman is incredibly bright, incredibly experienced. Talking to a person who worked with him recently, I said, you know, how did he become so proficient in Chinese? Was he a missionary or his parents missionaries in China? He says, no, no, he studied at Monterey at the Army Language School. And the story was that since he got bored doing that, he was studying another language at the same time.
Oh, wow.
The guy is really amazing. You know, he also predicted when he was working on Africa, he predicted the AIDS epidemic that has existed there. So the guy is really well-rounded. Now, what does it mean to be in charge of national intelligence estimates? Well, this is the supreme genre of intelligence analysis. You can see how it can be used because the one that was produced on 1 October 2002 was deliberately fashioned so that the administration could use it to make a war in Iraq. That was unconscionable. My former colleagues bowed to Cheney and others and conjured up evidence, and you don't have to take my word from it. Look what the Senate committee report says. The evidence was exaggerated. The evidence was non-existent. Now, what's non-existent evidence? Well, that was what was used to grease the skids for war. Now, the other part is that there was a good estimate done in November of 2007, and that's the one that said the Iranians have stopped working on the nuclear weapons-related part of their nuclear program, and they stopped that in the fall of 2003 and had not resumed it. Wow. Now that one can argue credibly that that estimate and the fact that it was released at the insistence of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that that helped them resist the push toward war on Iran that Israel was just delighted to start, and Cheney and the rest of them were just delighted to jump in. That took the wind out of their sails. So the premium on having an objective guy who's his own man in charge of that kind of product, and also the president's daily brief, mind you, in other words, all the substance of intelligence. Chaz Freeman was a breath of fresh air for all of us, and he was done in by the by his own term. Well, he charges by the Israel lobby, which now he's refined to say the Likudnik lobby, mm-hmm. Here in this country as well as in Israel. Now, you don't have to say that that's a crazy charge because people like Chuck Schumer and others have been bragging about how they sabotaged his appointment. Now, it's really important to realize that this wasn't a nomination. This didn't require any confirmation by the Senate. He had already been appointed.
Yeah.
And so they got rid of him because, as Schumer said, some of the things he said about our friends in Israel were over the top. Well, wow, that's the first time in my experience, and I've been around 45 years, that anyone has been able to delve, any lobby has been able to delve that deep into the intelligence community and get rid of somebody they didn't like just for policy purposes. And I think if you look back and see what happened that particular day, well, 1 week ago Tuesday, you see that Dennis Blair, mm-hmm. the Director of National Intelligence, testified that morning that Iran had still not resumed its nuclear weapons-related activity. And when McCain and others said, yeah, but they've decided to have a nuclear weapon, right? And Admiral Blair said, no, not right. Mm-hmm. What do you mean not right? He said, our information is that they haven't decided yet. And so McCain said, well, how about you, General Maples? General Maples, head of DIA, says, that's my assessment as well. We think they're hedging their bets. Wow. That's a lot of guts. And that's what Netanyahu, that's what the Israel lobby, the Likudniks don't want to hear.
Yeah.
And within hours, Blair was embarrassed by having his nominee to head up the Substance Intelligence taken out from under him. So it's a very, very serious situation. Never have I seen so crass a bending toward the lobby as I have. And Obama has to take the rep for this because he didn't say boo.
Let's talk to Molly in Monterey. Welcome, Molly. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Ray McGovern.
Hi, Molly.
Hi, both of you. First of all, I just want to thank you, Peter, so much, and you, Ray, as well, for your incredibly deep patriotism and for showing us all how to be citizens.
Well, thank you, Molly.
How to really participate rather than just being frightened people.
Okay, and get right to your comment because time is tight.
My comment is, all we have to do, I think it would be helpful if people would call and just say, what's a guy, and just call the various Congress people, the various people involved, and say, what's a guy got to do to face some criminal consequences in this town?
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
All right.
Molly, thanks for putting it that way. I really appreciate it. Ray McGovern, thank you for being a great American, for standing up to Rumsfeld, standing up to anybody else who needs it, and I appreciate the way you speak truth to power.
Thank you, Peter B., and best luck in the future.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll be talking.
Okay.
That's Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Catch more information at peterbcollins.com. Be sure to send me an email so I can sign you up for our future podcasts. It's Peter at peterbcollins.com.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. We just got confirmation that actress Natasha Richardson is dead. Earlier this week, she suffered a head injury when she fell on a ski slope in Canada. Here she is in a 2007 interview.
I'm destined to play difficult parts for very little money rather than easy parts for a lot of money. And I would like a lot of money, but I'm doing very nicely, and I'm married to a very successful man, and I've got more than most people could ever hope for.
A statement says her husband, Liam Neeson, their two sons, are shocked and devastated by the tragic death of Natasha Richardson. She was 45. The anger at AIG was focused today on Edward Liddy, the insurance executive who was called out of retirement to clean up the mess for a dollar a year. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports.
Knowing he was walking into the lion's den, the CEO of AIG came to Capitol Hill with a sacrificial offering.
I've asked those who receive retention payments in excess of $100,000 or more to return at least half of those payments.
It wasn't enough for lawmakers.
Pay the $165 million back.
They are furious that executives would get any bonuses after their unit brought the insurance giant to its knees, requiring a $180 billion public rescue.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the House will vote tomorrow on a bill that would slap a 90% tax on many of the bonuses paid by AIG and other institutions receiving federal bailout money. President Obama is on the road promoting his economic plan. He just wrapped up a town meeting in Costa Mesa, California, where he defended the deficit spending in his budget.
Most of these critics presided over a doubling of the national debt. We are inheriting a $1.3 trillion deficit, so they don't have the standing to make this criticism.
The Federal Reserve says it will pump another $1 trillion into the financial system, buying up mortgage-backed securities and long-term treasury debt. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says the idea is to stimulate lending.
The good news on that is it's going to make it cheaper to refinance your mortgage or to buy a house.
They're trying to get the housing market moving again. They're trying to get credit flowing through the economy, and they are pumping an extraordinary amount of money into the economy to do it.
Wall Street had a positive reaction. The Dow built on yesterday's gains, rising another 90 points. Attorney General Eric Holder told reporters today that the Justice Department will target marijuana distributors who violate both federal and state law. That means the DEA will keep hands off the medical marijuana dispensaries that comply with the law in California.
For the patients, you know, there's definitely a sense of relief that they aren't going to have to be part of a law enforcement raid when they go in and get their medicine.
Karen Woodson of Americans for Safe Access. This is CBS News.
Brought to you by GM, offering the widest variety of hybrids, one for every need. Whether you're going to work or hauling gear, we have a hybrid model to fit your lifestyle. Details at gm.com/solutions.
I'm about to present to you a straightforward commercial for GEICO, the third largest personal auto insurer in the country. Last year, over 3 million drivers switched to GEICO, and GEICO received a customer satisfaction rate of 97%. Standard & Poor's has consistently awarded GEICO a AAA rating for financial strength. This is usually where I'd say something cute or clever, but like I said at the beginning, we're keeping this straightforward. Goodbye to you now.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Brought to you by GM, makers of the 2011 Chevy Volt, the extended-range electric vehicle that will revolutionize the way people drive and help make electricity an alternative fuel for tomorrow's transportation needs. Details at gm.com/solutions.
2007 was a record year for births in this country. Record keepers at the Centers for Disease Control say 4.3 million babies were born, more than at the peak of the baby boom 50 years ago. There was also a record number of out-of-wedlock births. Reporter Sabrina Gibbons has details.
The number of unmarried women having babies is at historic highs.
The births to unmarried women increased really substantially in 2007.
The CDC Stephanie Ventura says the biggest increase was among women in their early 30s.
I think that there's probably, you know, issues of more social acceptance, and there's definitely been increases in cohabitation.
Teen birth rates were also up, but only slightly, and the number of births by C-section the highest ever. Sabrina Gibbons for CBS News, Atlanta.
The Alabama Welcome Center on Interstate 10 reopened today. It had been closed more than a week because the soap in a restroom dispenser was an odd color and smelled funny. Officials say they shut down the entire building out of an abundance of caution. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
You can learn a lot about a car company just by listening to its cars. How solid it is. How efficiently it runs. How well it drives years down the road. One car company puts its quality out there every day for everyone to hear. General Motors. Because we know building quality cars is the most important thing we can do. That's why we back our cars with the best coverage in America. The 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Fully transferable limited powertrain coverage for up to 5 years or 100,000 miles. Plus, roadside assistance and courtesy transportation on most cars and light-duty trucks we sell. Confidence you can trust in a car you'll absolutely love. Want to know the kind of company GM really is? All you have to do is listen. We let our cars do the talking. To hear more about General Motors and the kinds of cars we build, visit GM.com. 5 years, 100,000 miles, whichever comes first. See dealer for warranty details.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We're heading into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Congressman Dennis Kucinich will be with us in about 10 minutes. Yes, the shelf life of the Peter B. Collins Show is expiring. You can get full details on my website at peterbcollins.com. We will be vacating this space on your radio dial at the end of this week. But I'm not going away. I am burdened with too many opinions and too much concern about the future of our country. And you'll be hearing me in a podcast edition coming up. We expect to launch that in June. And I am asking people to email me, and I'll keep you on a list so we can alert you when we're ready to launch that. And we're also working on a live streaming program that would be out on the web, available on your computer and your other devices. And we'll get that on, hopefully, in short order behind the podcast. But that's what our plan is. And people like Ray McGovern just volunteered to be a part of the future. And I'm sure that many others who have contributed to this program will be with us. So while I am, you know, sad and disappointed at this chain of events, I'm also buoyed by the great support that I've received from people. And I haven't even been to the post office box, where those who don't have access to computers have probably dropped me a lot of love notes. So thank you for all that. I really appreciate it. Here's Tim Carpenter, who is the National Director of Progressive Democrats of America on the web, pdamerica.org. He's the fastest-talking activist in these United States. Hello, Tim.
Peter, thanks so much. It's bittersweet tonight. I just, you know, it's kind of just settling into the PDA family. We got it up on the website. We're here just as Ray McGovern's committed. We've got an audience of 140,000 people. When you got the podcast in June, we'll get it out there. We'll do everything we can to help. It's a bittersweet night for many of us in progressive America, let alone in PDA land.
Well, thank you, Tim. I really appreciate it. You've been a staunch supporter, and, you know, I want everybody to know that I'm going to be okay. I'm more concerned about people who are losing their homes, the 50 million people without health care. And, you know, there are real critical issues, just as we discussed with Ray McGovern in the last few minutes, about accountability for the misdeeds of the past.
Well,
and so
absolutely.
So my personal issues and this radio program, and I appreciate that people value it. I'm not dismissing that in any way. But, again, the problems pale in comparison to what many Americans face.
Well, you're more than correct, Peter, and that's why this Friday we're going to have Conyers out here in Western Mass to keep pushing on single payer when everybody's giving up. But we do need to take 30 seconds and acknowledge the personal. We oftentimes get wrapped up in the movement, but on the personal, you have been there. You've been an unwavering voice. You have always given PDA the mic over the last 4 years. I have fond memories in Denver when you came over to Progressive Central. I have fond memories when I called you 2 weeks ago and said, you know, we're not even getting anybody in the White House. Can you help us? And you never wavered. You never stopped. You've been there. Your listeners have been there. So I just want to take these 30 seconds and thank you and Mark on these 4 years and what an institution you've been. Personally, talking with Katrina, whenever we get those emails from you guys, I think one time I wasn't able to make it. We try really hard to be on with you in whatever capacity. I know you'll be with us and your community will be with us, but we want to take 30 seconds and just thank you, Peter B. Collins, for all that you've done and continue to do, and thank you. And thanks for everything. We look forward to this new relationship, what comes in June. And we've got on the website, we're going to try to get you some donors, and we still haven't given up. And I know you said Friday you vacate, but we also believe in miracles. That's why we're PDA.
Well, thank you. I accept with humility and gratitude there, Tim. Now let's talk about the critical issue here about health care reform. The new announcement is that we have a troika, George Miller, Henry Waxman, and Charlie Rangel, the chairs of key committees in the House of Representatives, and they have pledged now to work together, and let's hope Rangel can deal with his ethical issues and stay on the case. You know, it seems that we really are seeing movement forward, but we are also seeing that single payer does not appear to be even on the debate agenda.
Yeah, well, you've got Dennis coming up behind me. You can ask him, when are they going to give the mic to Dennis Kucinich and Congressman John Conyers? Both of them have worked probably harder and unbelievably tirelessly to bring about single payer. Why is it that, and we encourage Rangel and we encourage Miller and Waxman to step up, but why not John Conyers, the author of 676 and the co-sponsor, Dennis Kucinich, why not have them in the room at the same time? Let's have a real discussion on not just a public option, but let's really talk about what single payer. We saw it yesterday in Vermont. We were in Michigan last week. We're going to be in North Carolina. We're going to play the game that Obama wants us to play. The media reports 150 people. We know there are 400 people there with very little notice. We're going to be here in Western Mass with John Conyers on Friday night. And on April 25th, we're going going to be in every congressional district, that we have an active PDA chapter to ask those Congress members that have not co-sponsored 676 what's up, and more importantly, thank those that have. We've got a lot of work to do. We're encouraged, Peter, but in this business, as you know, when you roll the stone up the hill, it rolls back sometimes on you, but we're definitely making some movement. We've got some attention, but the reality is we still are burdened with an administration that's closing its door on single payer as we speak.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we need to keep the pressure on, and, you know, I think ultimately any smart person who looks at our health care delivery system will accept that the for-profit method has failed and that single-payer is the ultimate answer. And whether we get there in 3 years or 5 years, I believe that it's got to be on the table and it has to be the end goal.
Well, just as we keep pushing accountability, at the end of the day, the American public is ready. We're ready for single-payer. Any poll you look at, whether it be even the New York Times, where they recently asked people, would you pay higher taxes if you had single payer? The majority of Americans are with us. What we lack is the political will to move in this direction. And you're going to have one of the best spokespersons right behind me in Dennis Kucinich, who's been pushing with John Conyers this effort. And we need to organize and mobilize to support them in their efforts. We need to let President Obama know that the majority of Americans are ready to move. And the progressive community can't lose faith. We need to continue to let him know that we'll create the mass movement. We just need him to follow up and lock in the single payer movement, and let the pharmaceutical industry and let all of the self-interest people that continue to profit from the health care of Americans, that their day is up, and it's time to move to single-payer. Just as Harry Truman said over 40 years ago, we're ready. The American public's made it clear. We lack the political will, and we're going to keep pushing until we get it.
All right, Tim Carpenter, I don't have time to take this call, but Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire, is volunteering to distribute 500 health care flyers. We're going to get his number, and stay on the line here. We'll pass it along to you. And
wonderful. And please visit the website. We have over 500,000 flyers we can mail out. All we need you to do is cover postage, and we'll get them out there for you. Peter, again, thank you to you and Katrina for everything you've given and continue to give, and I look forward to working with you as we move down the road together. Thank you.
All right, Tim, thank you very much. And it turns out Brian already has the flyers, so we're set there, but he just wanted to let you know.
Thank you, Peter. Best of luck. Keep in touch, please.
All right.
And a thank you to Katrina. Thank you.
Tim Carpenter, PDAmerica.org, the Progressive Democrats. We're going to take a break, and on the other side, Congressman Dennis Kucinich will join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond, inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com. Or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow.
Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LeCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LeCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Thursday, March 19th. Keep it locked on this station. The 44th President of the United States, Barack Obama, will be on The Ed Schultz Show. The leader of the free world will join the leading voice in progressive talk for a one-on-one interview. Thursday, March 19th will be an historic day for progressive talk. Don't miss it. President Barack Obama on The Ed Schultz Show. Thursday, right here on this progressive talk station.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Thea Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In King City on the northbound 101 at the northbound Bradley Rest area, proceed with caution. There is a large amount of tire debris in both lanes there. And in Monterey County, there's a shovel in the number one lane on Highway 68 just east of Spreckles Boulevard. In weather, it's beginning to cool down a little this afternoon. We've got highs in the mid to upper 60s and lows in the 50s. Tonight will be mostly clear with lows in the upper 40s. Thursday, we're looking at partly cloudy skies with highs in the mid-60s. Right now in Monterey, it's 60 degrees. Salinas is coming in at 65, and it's looking good in Santa Cruz at 68 degrees. That's your AM 540 traffic and weather. We'll be back with more of the powerful Peter B. Collins Show.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 18 minutes after the hour. Returning to our program, Democratic Congressman from Cleveland, Dennis Kucinich. Congressman, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Peter, thank you very much for the opportunity to be on and always for the chance to speak to your listeners. I've always enjoyed it, and I'm very grateful to you, and I certainly wish you well.
Well, thank you. We're going to be moving over to the World Wide Web and launching a podcast probably in June. And we'll be able to stay in touch with most of our existing listeners and probably reach a much larger universe down the road.
Well, that's great.
And so it's the sensible way to go. But we're disappointed to be leaving this space and leaving some listeners who only have AM radios behind. But, hey, they can get technology, too, and we hope they will. Congressman, I want to turn to some of the critical issues that you're working on in Washington. And on our program already today, we've noted that when John King got his interview with former Vice President Cheney on CNN, he acted like he was asking him tough questions about whether, Cheney feels responsible for the economic problems that were delivered to the Obama administration. But the more important question is about Seymour Hersh's allegation in the past week that Dick Cheney controlled an assassination squad that operated worldwide, including inside the borders of the United States. Now, we need to know a whole lot more about this, but the media doesn't seem interested, and many of your political colleagues don't seem to be talking about this either.
When I read the report, and again, I want to stress, I read a report about a speech that Seymour Hersh gave. And I felt that given the fact that in the past he has provided information on international policies that have been credible and verifiable, that given the seriousness, the gravity of the charge, that it was important to notify the chairman of the Government Oversight Committee and to ask him to begin a preliminary inquiry on the charges, and keeping in mind that nothing's been proven, but the point is that that Mr. Hersh did make some statements that the committee should take note of and find out if, in fact, they're true.
Mm-hmm. And so as we add all this up, the exit interviews that Bush and Cheney gave where they bragged about the torture that they approved, the information that Mark Danner has published from the International Red Cross about the details of the treatment of Abu Zubaydah and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and one other prisoner. The record is now pretty clear, and I, for one, don't support Senator Leahy's call for a commission. A truthiness commission is what I deride it as, and I believe that we need to allow our criminal justice system to do its work. and that the best way forward is to appoint a special prosecutor and let that individual take the issues where they go.
Well, I think you're right, certainly. We can't dismiss the importance of continuing an inquiry. The rule of law was trashed during the Bush years, and the only way to save that rule of law and to reinstate it is through a vigorous inquiry and possibly prosecutorial action. So I'm certainly in my capacity as chairman of the Domestic Policy Subcommittee and as a member of the Government Oversight Committee, the full committee, I have a commitment to the people of this country to ask questions when they need to be asked and to try to get the answers. Mr. Hirsch spoke of something known as the Joint Special Operations Command and describing it as a special operations community that was set up independently of control by either the CIA or by the Defense Department.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem that this group only reported directly to the Vice President's office. They didn't, according to reports, report to the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff or to the Secretary of Defense. Now, with Congress not having any oversight and then these reports coming in, there's a very serious constitutional question here and a question of the rule of law, which should not be overlooked.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so is there consensus in the House, for instance, about how to move forward on these issues, or are people listening to President Obama, who doesn't seem inclined to pursue investigations into the past?
Peter, I have to tell you that we as an institution are rightly so focused on the very dangerous economic conditions this country finds itself in that as important as this matter is, it's unlikely to grab the immediate attention of the House. And we're trying to save jobs, homes, retirements, pensions, and it's a very difficult situation right now, which is requiring many of us to put in very long hours trying to rescue the economy. Now, I wrote that letter so that those who are concerned would understand that we basically put a marker down to continue the discussion. It's not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to look at what's in front of us right now. With an economy that's failing, with the trade deficits widening, with TARP funds that are being moved out of this country, with the AIGs moving huge amounts out of this country through their own mini TARP system, we have a national economic crisis which demands our full attention.
Well, and I understand that, Congressman Kucinich, and I appreciate it certainly in respect to you. But I see right now this frenzy going on to see who can come up with the most outlandish punishment for the executives at AIG. And I don't object to efforts to recover that bonus money, but as you just pointed out and prioritize the issues, the critical matter, as Elliot Spitzer has pointed out in an online piece today, is the way that AIG used the bailout money it was given. It's now up to $180-some billion total, but $22 billion of the first installment was passed out, a lot of it to foreign banks, some to American banks that weren't believed to be in any trouble, and AIG made whole on these derivative contracts and other insurance bets that they had made without really attempting to assess the level of their exposure.
Well, you said you used the number 128.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 128 billion. I'd like your listeners who have a pencil and a piece of paper, write that number down. Just take a look at it. 128, and then put nine zeros after it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of money that is moving around with almost abandon. And with very little accountability, very little transparency. Only, our Domestic Policy Subcommittee was able to penetrate the resistance of Citigroup and the Bank of America to determine that tens of millions of dollars were being shipped offshore that was supposed to be used to prop up the U.S. economy with businesses starved for credit with cash calls being made on businessmen who have relied on credit to keep their business going, with jobs being lost. This money is being parked in these, and either parked in the banks on a credit freeze, or they're shipping it out of the country. And AIG was used as a conduit, almost like a mini TARP, to mm-hmm. provide even more TARP funds for some of these institutions who received the first round. And in addition to that, a good chunk of the money is going out of the country. I don't think there's any justification for this, Peter. I view this as nothing less than looting of the U.S. Treasury, and that at this point, I am not satisfied that the approach that has been taken right now is really going to be in the best interest of the American people.
Mm-hmm. What can we do to support your efforts to get at the truth?
Well, you know, first of all, eternal vigilance is always the price of liberty, and so people have to really follow this. I spend at least 5-6 hours a day just doing nothing but reading, trying to keep up with this and analyze it. Now, you know, that's most people don't have that kind of time to do it, but people really need to insist that Congress get the answers on where the money's going. The Fed just announced that it's releasing another $1 trillion, and they're going to buy another $1 trillion in securities, supposedly to help the economy. They're creating money out of thin air.
Yeah.
And we don't know who they're giving it to. There's over $2 trillion that have gone. It's gone out the doors at the Fed.
Congressman, I've got to take a break here. Can you stay over, or shall we say goodbye?
Peter, I've got about another 3 minutes.
Well, the break's 4 minutes. So thank you very much, Congressman. We'll talk again down the road.
Peter, thank you, and good luck to you, and thanks for all the opportunities.
My pleasure. Dennis Kucinich, Democrat from Cleveland. Your calls are next at 888-5-PETER-BEATTY.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' 3 generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there. And who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
This is a benefit performance for Planned Parenthood. Because there is a right time and a wrong time to have parents. And this summer was a great summer. The Santa Cruz City Council passed a resolution that says we're going to have a global warming czar, which will help us with the upcoming climate change. And this is very cool. And you know what? That inspired FEMA. Did you hear about this? FEMA is coming to Santa Cruz to help us prepare and educate us about the global warming.
Oh, no, send them back.
Oh, no. No, wait a minute. Hold it. That was my mistake. No. FEMA is actually coming to Santa Cruz in response to the earthquake of 1989.
Richard Stockton with a minute from planetcruz.org.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
I am the God of Hellfire, and I bring you...
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I dug out Arthur Brown for our friends along the Big Sur coastline who almost lost their homes and in some cases did to huge wildfires last summer. I hope things are nice and damp there and you're clearing that fuel with vegetation to prevent a relapse. Triple 85, Peter B., if you'd like to join the conversation here, it's the Free Speech Zone for the rest of this hour, 888-573-8372. I really appreciate Dennis Kucinich. He's a real progressive, a guy who stands up for truth and accountability, and he's also a guy who knows how to operate within the system. For as firm and direct as he is, he also knows how to navigate in the Congress and get things done, so he is not just a gadfly. And I really appreciate him on all of the issues, and I believe that his run for the presidency in 04 and 08 made a real difference, moved the debate to the left, made opposition to the war in Iraq politically viable. I wouldn't go quite so far as to say that if Kucinich hadn't run in 04 and 08 that we wouldn't have President Obama. But I think a strong case could be made. And I just got word during the break, something that delights me. New Mexico, just an hour ago, became the 15th state in the Union to eliminate the death penalty. In some cases, outlawing it again. And I think this is interesting because from my knowledge of Governor Bill Richardson, he is a pro-capital punishment, pro-NRA kind of guy. And he responded to the will of the people of New Mexico. Let's see, he had received 9,000 phone calls, emails, and walk-in visits, and about 7,100 were in favor of repeal of the death penalty, about 2,300 opposed. And I want to tell you a quick story about Bill Richardson, because until he ran into his pay-for-play scandal, and Charges have been leveled but not proven, so I don't know what the outcome will be. He was on his way to becoming Commerce Secretary, which I think is not the greatest position for his skills. In the summer of 2006, he came to San Francisco, and my friend Joan Kenley invited me to tag along to a private luncheon. There were only 10 or 12 of us there. And Bill Richardson outlined his scheme to run for president. And he was floating trial balloons about issues that he could run on, and also the big question, could he raise enough money? And would California be his ATM for campaign cash? And it was a very interesting exchange, and as he outlined his positions, I said, Governor, you got a mushy position on Iraq. And at the time he did, because he had supported the invasion along with Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, and John Edwards, and many other members of the House and Senate. And yet he realized the blunder, and by 2006 he was offering a position that, as I said, was kind of fuzzy. And in fact, he did fix that. But at the end of this luncheon, I said, Governor, it turns out that I'm going to be in Santa Fe in about 2 weeks, and I wonder if you could recommend some restaurants. And he's a large man who clearly enjoys food, and he lit up, and he, in longhand, wrote down three or four restaurants for me. And then he casually said, well, if you're going to be in Santa Fe, come by and visit the office. He gave me his card and told me who to call. So I went to Santa Fe, and we were in the midst of a family reunion. And at dinner the night before my scheduled visit to the governor's office, I said, who wants to come along? 11 other people raised their hands, including my mother and nieces and nephews who are too young to vote. And 12 of us trooped into the Capitol there, and the staff was aghast. What are all these people doing? They shoved us into a conference room. They said, well, the governor will see you, but he's only got a couple of minutes, so don't sit down. So we went in, and Richardson could not have been nicer, more congenial. We ended up sitting in there for 45 minutes. He talked to each and every one of us and asked us what our concerns were, what issues we cared about. He particularly paid attention to my mother. And she gave him a piece of her mind. And at the end of it, my niece, Mary Irene, raised her hand, and he thought that she was going to ask him some civics question, and she said, do you have a bathroom? So she got to tinkle in the governor's private bathroom, and she'll never forget that. But it was quite an episode, and I will always remember Bill Richardson for that, and I'm disappointed that he is, shall we say, compromised in his desire to future service because of the issues about pay-to-play in New Mexico. Now to your phone calls, 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. Here's Steve in Salinas. Welcome, Steve.
Good afternoon. Sorry you're leaving.
Me too.
But when you had to finish on there, I wanted to ask a question. I'd call as soon as I could, but it's a little bit too late.
I'm sorry.
I think it's been in the Republicans, it's to their advantage to keep screwing things up. Because the more things get screwed up, the fewer resources we have to investigate this, and this. And just, well, let's deal with Abu Ghraib. Now we can't deal with that. We've got to deal with this. But what about the tort? Now we've got to deal with this. And just 5 million things just keep coming and coming and coming. And we can't keep track of everything. And we can't concentrate on one or two or three things.
Well, I don't know. I don't think Washington gets as overloaded as easily as people suggest. And I didn't want to quibble with the congressman there because I believe that he is working 12 and 14 hours a day and that he is primarily focused on our economic problems. But as we see the frenzy over the AIG bonuses, they're not trying to solve the underlying problems. They're trying to score political points.
Yep.
And Republicans are using this. You got Chuck Grassley calling for a ritual suicide of these people who accepted the bonuses. And I'm sorry, Chuck Grassley and his political party are a part of the whole effort that eggs these people on to grab as much and take as much as they could, irrespective of, you know, what it was based on. And so, you know, we have $165 million in bonuses being paid out to the very people who crashed AIG.
Yes. And like you were talking earlier, you know, Obama and the Congress doesn't have to do all these investigations. They can appoint special prosecutors.
Yeah.
And they won't. And it's just so frustrating.
Well, I hope they will, Steve. We've just got to keep the pressure on. And as these things continue to be revealed, we need to underscore them, as we've pointed out. The Cheney Assassination Squad story is all but dropped out of sight.
Yes. The only place I hear it is KRXA.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to let go of it. Thank you, Steve. And I appreciate your support over the years. I really do. Here's John in Carmel Valley. Hi, John.
The question I would have posed Kucinich, and he wouldn't have liked it, was why didn't you put everything on the line, be a martyr, which, to be honest with him, that's probably what it would have cost him, and publicly condemned Nancy Pelosi because her stand against beginning impeachment. You know, I know that if those investigations had begun immediately when she took over the speakership, we would have learned a whole lot more about what was going on leading up to this economic mess. And even this bungling bunch probably would have brought something to bear sooner, and we wouldn't be nearly, hopefully, in the mess we're in now. You know the big difference between 32? I've been thinking over and over, what's the difference between that mess and this mess? There were no two Vietnam morasses, and even better, there wasn't this bungling bunch, DNC Democrats, Dinos, whatever you want to call them, screwing things up. I just can't believe it. That is, and you know this, my chief frustration, even more than the Republicans causing this, is those who have been selected by fate or by just God knows what to have to fix this mess, and I don't have an ounce of faith in them.
Well, John, I don't have any dispute with what you just said. I agree that the failure of the Democrats to use impeachment to limit Bush and Cheney's adventures during their final 2 years and to expose their wrongdoing and try to prevent it in future presidencies did set the tone. And then we saw last fall when essentially it was Pelosi and Bush who put together the TARP package. The Republicans, including John McCain, for the most part, kept their fingers off it. And so we ended up with two rounds here of the Democratic leadership negotiating with itself and trying to throw bones at Republicans to get them to support things that they knew they would never sign on to. And so we have failure compounded by further failure, and I agree with you that the origin of it is that we failed to hold people accountable when it was so clear, and when the impeachment, it's not an option, when the impeachment process was available, and that was early in 2007. That's when Conyers should have been permitted to go forward. And what they did is they ran out the clock, and then they said, oh, we can't walk and chew gum at the same time. We can't pass a minimum wage increase and investigate the president. Well, you know how bogus that stuff is. But it did set the tone, saying that the cops are at the donut shop, so you go ahead and rob this bank from the inside right now. You have nothing to fear. And by the way, if the SEC bothers you, call this hotline because you're Republican donors, and they'll tell the bank regulators to back off.
The level of criminality as well as just every other failing, I don't think there was anything close to this in the 20s. It was, I think, just plain the end result, the predictable end result, which this is a part of, too, of laissez-faire, market economics, let everything be, casino economics, whatever you want to call it, without all this other stuff. And this is why, where is the bottom of this? And another good question, when will progressivism have its day in the sun? When there's nothing left, no sun left, no earth left? I mean, God knows. That's my million-dollar question right now.
I wish I had a million to answer you with. John, thank you very much. And thank you. Thanks for all of your calls to this program. You're a real stalwart and a smart guy. I always enjoy hearing from you.
Well, I wish you the best. That goes without saying. If I don't get a chance to talk to you between now and Friday, I hope you make a second coming, that you don't just end up on the Internet, because you're not going to get me on the internet, just like you were saying just moments ago. People can get technology. I ain't going to the internet.
All right, John.
For
thanks.
A million reasons, but I wish you well anyway.
But you got a cell phone, and I could show up on your cell phone. So
okay.
Take it easy. Now to Jackie in Watsonville. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Peter. Well, I'm sorry to see you go, but you know something? I think there are bigger and better things ahead for you, and sometimes the turn in the road is the best thing that could ever happen to you, and I really believe that.
Well, thank you. And as tough as it is to make this turn and to disappoint people from John to, I'm still crushed that, you know, folks in Seattle got to hear this program for only 2 weeks, and they can't figure out this
you
guy who just
Peter,
got there is
really,
already leaving.
I don't know. I have a strong feeling about you and Washington, D.C. I think that's where you're going to end up, but that's what I think, okay? And maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. Well, time will tell. I just wanted to say one thing to the previous caller.
Uh-huh.
You know what Shakespeare said in one of his plays? I don't remember which one. The truth will out. It always does. Sometimes it's late. Sometimes it's late in coming. But it always does out. Eventually, you always find out what the truth is. And I really believe that's going to happen. I want to say one more thing.
Sure.
As far as the death penalty, I think that not too very long a time from now, we're going to see the end of the death penalty in the United States. I think things are changing so quickly. I believe in parts of astrology, esoteric astrology, and I really believe that this is the Aquarian age, and I believe that things are happening so quickly we can't even keep up with them. But I think things like the death penalty will be dead and gone, and you know where it should be, and I think a lot of other things will change too. I think Obama is a perfect example of the new age that we're in, and I think that we're all in it, and we have to work together, and I think this is going to be an amazing age for us. I really believe it, and I think that you're going to end up being famous.
Okay, Jackie, I'll take it. I'm not big on astrology, but any route to get there.
You're doing
okay.
Kid.
All right. Thank you very much, Jackie. And I hope she's right, that we're seeing the end of the death penalty, the end of the new dark ages, and a new era of enlightenment. That's what I'd love to see. More in a moment. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. By the way, Ed Schultz has got the interview with President Obama. It'll be on his program tomorrow, so be sure to catch that. Obama behind the orange curtain in Orange County today, and he's doing Ed Schultz and Jay Leno on Thursday. Very interesting. And the town hall meeting in Orange County with an unscreened crowd. He didn't use the Bush method of only inviting friendly people. Well, we'll have to watch the clips on TV and see how he did. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In Santa Cruz, we have a traffic collision with an ambulance responding on El Rancho Drive at Hunt Court. We've had a solo vehicle roll over. Otherwise, traffic is flowing smoothly and freely out there, and I hope you're having a great commute. In weather, tonight will be mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy later. We'll have lows in the upper 40s and north winds of 5 to 15. 15 miles per hour. Thursday will be partly cloudy with highs in the mid-60s and north winds at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Right now it's looking good in Monterey at 60 degrees. Salinas is coming in at 65 degrees. And on Planet Cruz, it's 68 degrees. That's your AM 540 traffic and weather. Have a fantastic evening and keep it tuned to KRXA for more of the dynamic Peter B. Collins Show.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Just two more broadcast days here at this phase of the Peter B. Collins Show. Sign up for our podcast. It'll be coming your way probably in June. Log on to my website at peterbcollins.com, or just drop me an email, and then I'll have your email address, peter at peterbcollins.com, or full of it at peterbcollins.com. It'll all get to me. Here's John calling from the Hawaiian Islands in Kauai. Hello, John.
Hi, Peter. I just wanted to say that even when I lived in Santa Cruz, the only way I listened to KRXA was over the Internet, and now I still listen to KRXA now that I'm out here in the islands. So.
Okay, great. Well, that'll make it easy for you to find us. Have you sent me an email so I have your address?
Oh, I've sent you many of them.
Oh, this is John Z.
Yes, it is.
Oh, John, you've really touched me, and I appreciate your passion for the program and the many emails that you sent.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. So what kind of media do you get in Hawaii? I mean, I've only been there as a tourist, and I've never really paid much attention.
Well, you have three choices. One is Hawaiian music, of course.
Yeah.
And that's pretty good. The other one is classic rock and roll. Mm-hmm. It's very cheap to produce. And the third one is Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Once upon a time, they had Sabir America on Kauai for a little bit, but I don't know where it went.
Yeah, yeah. Well, John, I appreciate that you go to the trouble to log on. I do listen to some things on the computer, but it takes the extra effort. It's not as easy as just sitting in your car and punching up the button. And there are people like you scattered all over the world. I've heard from Japan, from Costa Rica, from Great Britain, and from many corners of these United States. And it's great to see this audience surface, and so I can identify you out there. And I'll be in touch with everybody who's emailed so that we can stay as a community and all gather around the next event here.
Well, I hope you'll be able to do it live over the Internet so that people can call in.
Well, we'll definitely work on having some interaction. In the initial podcast, it'd probably be voicemails and recorded calls, but down the road we hope to launch a live streaming program, too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, John, thanks.
Thanks a lot, Peter.
Thanks for checking in. Thanks for all your emails. I appreciate that. Here's the other Steve in Salinas. Hi, Steve.
Actually, I'm your boss, and
I'd like to
go over a couple of things here.
Yeah, okay.
Now,
have you got my retention bonus ready?
Yes, actually, we do. We put it in there, and the Bernie Madoff was in charge of your fund. So, okay, now, let's see. Now, let's go over this. I'm still giving you a couple of more weeks. Everybody's getting fired in this country, and I'm giving you a couple of weeks more. Now, what's the idea here? Are you going to go or no?
We'll be completing the week on Friday.
Okay, so we got rid of that. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, now, since you have done such a good job on music,
mm-hmm.
and I know that's a real passion of yours, so go to your 2.5, 3.5 years of your music stuff and pull it all up and play some of the stuff that you've done. Because, man, I tell you what, Crime in the City, you got to play the Fronte guy,
yeah.
Zimmerman. Hey, let's, the next couple of days, you know, delve into the Peter B. Collins, I think it was tax deductible
music archives. That's right.
Right.
You bet I deduct every one of them. Thank you, Steve. I want to jump to Robert in Daly City. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Peter. Hey, you got to go to whatdoesitmean.com, March 18th. Madoff is alleged to have been a spy with Mossad. There's allegedly six others, including the former head of Shin Bet, Jacob Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Madoff was the bag man. He was a big financial guy for Mossad's global Israeli spy operations, and he is alleged to have helped Silverstein because he's in that list.
Uh-huh.
Henry Traub, Maurice Greenberg, Larry Silverstein, Mort Zuckerman, and Edward de Rothschild. And once you look at that article on whatdoesitmean.com, it becomes very clear who Bernie Madoff is. But I think Bernie Madoff may wind up like Ken Lay between conviction and sentencing. Old Bernie may wind up going underground and be living his life sipping the margaritas in Margaritaville.
Okay, Robert, thank you. We'll take a look at that. Got time for one more. This is Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Yeah, Peter, I'm going to miss you there. I'll be looking forward to you just to look at it as a temporary the vacation for you, well-earned vacation. But I wanted to say that I think in spite of my manic depressive mind, I tried to follow the peaceful teachings of Immanuel Kant, the Kantian ideas of peace, which humanity hasn't come close to of attaining. But
uh-huh.
You, Peter Collins, you've come far closer to that ideal than I have, and you are a good man.
It's
and
because
I hope you're nothing but a good and a great future ahead of you. You definitely
thank you, Brian.
Deserve in this country.
I refuse to say I can't. Thank you very much,
okay.
Brian. We'll be back at you tomorrow, and then one more time here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Until then.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The worst fears have been realized. A written statement confirms the death of actress Natasha Richardson, who suffered a head injury when she fell at a ski resort in Canada. The statement says her husband, actor Liam Neeson, their sons, and the rest of the family are shocked and devastated. More on Natasha Richardson from CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman.
She was born into acting royalty, the daughter of Oscar winner Vanessa Redgrave, her grandfather Sir Michael Redgrave. Natasha Richardson starred on both stage and screen. In 1998, she won a Tony for her performance in Cabaret.
Mama thinks I'm living in a convent.
Richardson also had major roles in numerous films, including the 1994 movie Nell.
You ever ask yourself why you like hanging around Nell so much?
She never reached the heights of her mother, but Natasha Richardson was an accomplished performer.
You can tell my papa, that's all right.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Richardson has been hospitalized in Montreal, then flown to New York. There are unconfirmed reports that she'd been declared brain dead and the family took her off life support. She was 45. New York Congressman Gary Ackerman has a message for the AIG executives who got retention bonuses.
This old school teacher is going to give you a little bit of advice. Pay
the $165 million back.
At a House hearing today, AIG Chairman Edward Liddy said some of the money has already been returned. He asked those who got the biggest bonuses to give up at least half. But Liddy defended the decision to write the checks in the first place.
The judgment we made was the risk was too great that we would lose all the progress we made if we didn't pay these bonuses.
He said key people might have quit just as AIG was trying to recover from massive losses. Barack Obama held a town meeting in Southern California this evening. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer went along.
President Obama is taking a direct approach in his effort to move past the AIG bonus controversy.
It's my job to make sure that we fix these messes even if I don't make them.
On his first trip away from Washington since the bonus story erupted, the president moved quickly to preempt his critics, opening his speech here with comments on the simmering issue. And at least here, the strategy worked. While the controversy swirls back in Washington, there were no questions about it at the president's California forum. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president in Costa Mesa, California.
The Dow, which had been losing ground, ended the day with a 90-point gain. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason credits an announcement.